keep joints in it, but it's not quite big enough. The hole's not quite.
Oh yeah, because they come out like all bent and sad.
Oh, we're live. Yeah, I tried to keep joints in there, but it didn't. Just
what did you put in there?
They all kind of were like, it was like half on, half smushed.
You need like one of those bubblegum brains.
Mmm.
You're just sticking it in there.
Yeah. I didn't want to fanboy out when I met you, but I'm a huge fan.
Thank you very much.
I really love your music.
Thank you very much.
Dave Cross is the first guy who turned me on to you. I think. I don't remember how. I just remember him telling me about Exile and Guyville.
Do you mean Mr. Show?
Yeah.
David Cross?
Yeah, he's the one. Yeah.
He was a big, Mr. Show was in my happiest touring iteration. Like, that was what we watched every night after the show. We'd hit the bus and everyone would watch Mr. Show till we passed out.
That's a genius show. I think it's like for Bob, I mean, Bob did great on Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. And he's done a lot of other stuff that's awesome too. But there's a something about the two of those guys together.
Yeah.
Very unusual combination. And their writing is just so bizarre and weird. But they did a Netflix thing for a while. I don't know if are they still doing that? Do you know?
I think he's doing those other shows now. I don't think so.
Too bad. Anyway, Dave Cross introduced me to Liz Phair. So
well, I am... That's a nice touchstone since it was part of my touring life.
There you go.
I feel very good about that.
So you got, what do you have now? You have a box set out coming out? A compilation? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a reissue of my first record, Exile in Guyville, with the original Girly Sound tapes that I made on a 4-track in, late 80s, early 90s.
Was that when you were living at home?
Yeah, that was when I was recalled back from San Francisco, having not gotten a job and run out of money and grifted my way across like the Bay Area. I mean, I had a place. I was rooming. Everyone from my college class moved out to San Francisco, basically from Oberlin.
Oh.
So I went too. And I made these little cassettes that I forwarded to two friends, and one of them got super busy making copies of these cassettes and sent them to every fanzine in America with this like glowing recommendation. And all of a sudden I was living at home, still didn't have a job. And I would get these envelopes coming to me saying like, please make me a cassette copy. Here's $10. And can you imagine what happened to the $10? Like, how awful is that? I truly just like, I was like, great, thanks. I wasn't making
bucks,
the, yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like there's about like 100 people that didn't get their cassette, but I wasn't making the cassettes. But anyway, that's sort of Taewon Yu is actually the person who made lots of cassettes and sent them around. So I have him to thank.
Did you have a thought that you were going to eventually make it or be a big singer? Was that even an idea?
Not a clue.
That's crazy. I hated
being in front of people. Like, I would not want to. I loved being in the studio. I loved recording. But I didn't. I was super stage frightened. And I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do less than get up in front of people and play music or do anything.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. But
it was hard.
But you obviously have a love of music.
I love playing music. I get very self-conscious with a crowd.
You got to pull this sucker up to you, otherwise we're not going to...
I get very self-conscious in front of a crowd.
Still?
Not so much anymore. I do, about 2 weeks before I hit the stage, I will stop sleeping. And then...
Really?
Yeah, and I'll work myself into this kind of cold sweat when I think about it. You know, and like, I'll be like, can I leave the country? And then, like, I get on stage and it all comes back to me and I'm like, I've done this a million times. This is the best job in the world. And I can't psych myself into that feeling until I'm actually on stage.
Maybe that's just because you care about it so much.
Probably. I'm too alert. We should be smoking those joints that are not
in
that head.
I have some over here.
I can't even imagine where we'd go with that.
We do it all the time. If you want, let me know. We're about 10 minutes in and you change your mind.
Okay.
Anytime.
If it gets really rough, if it gets really personal, maybe I'll...
Yeah, sometimes you have to.
I'm a very awake person.
Mm. Well, that's a good thing. That's the more sensitive you are, though, the more you have to consider all the possibilities. And that's what could keep you up.
Right,
dumb people sleep
send
like
you
a
down
brick.
The UFO wormhole, right?
We talked about that right before the podcast. Yeah, there's this guy that's coming on. His name's Dr. Robert Schock, and he's a geologist from Boston University. And he's worked on, there's some real scientists that believe it's entirely possible that the Sphinx and a lot of the construction in Egypt is far older than they think it is.
I know all about this.
Do you know all this?
I know
okay.
all about
Do you know
this,
about Robert
the rain
Chalk?
Runoff and yes, how much yes. erosion has occurred yes. around the base or around the pit that the mm-hmm. and it absolutely couldn't have been done depending on like the way the Sphinx is built, where it's located, the siting.
Yeah.
Where its level is far older. So
yes, they think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 9,000 plus BC because that's when back then the Nile Valley was a rainforest and somehow or another became a desert. And this guy's, you know, legit Boston University professor, geologist. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Mizzen and Main. No matter where you're listening, no matter what job you have, the clothes you wear to work say a lot about you. And if you're wearing boring, stiff, uncomfortable dress shirts, well, now might be the time to ditch some of the dated, boring styles in your workplace wardrobes. And that's exactly what Mizzen and Main is for. When I wear my shirt, I feel like I'm not sacrificing comfort for style. Their performance fabric dress shirts feel just as good as they look, and you could put on a Mizzen and Main and dress for the job you have. You will see it hanging in your closet and genuinely get excited to put it on. And if you're still dry cleaning your dress shirts, you're living in the past. Welcome to 2024, where Mizzen and Main has the world's most comfortable machine washable dress shirts. Mizzen and Main invented the performance fabric dress shirt 10 years ago, and they've practically perfected the thing. It's lightweight, breathable, moisture wicking, wrinkle resistant, and the most comfortable shirt on the market. Whatever you do and wherever you wear it, know that you'll look and feel amazing. Shop now at mizzenandmain.com and save 20% when you spend $130 or more using the promo code Joe Rogan. Traveling all over the place, but he's here for some UFO conference, and the UFO people wanted him to mention the UFO conference, and I'm like, fucking Christ with UFO conferences. You guys don't have anything. If you had something, it would be, what are you going to get together in a fucking Marriott somewhere and show some blurry picture of some fucking hubcap that someone chucked up into the air? Like, there's nothing. Everything that they look at falls apart under scrutiny. There's
okay.
like a few videos.
Okay, I'm going to push back on
Please
this.
Please do.
Let's just say, what about, do you know the Discovery Disclosure?
Yes, Disclosure Project. Yes.
Okay, there was their first press conference when they got all the, I tend to be impressed by the military, mm-hmm. you know, ranking members. I'm sort of like, ah. Oh. If you were guarding missile silos and you say you saw something hover above it and deactivate, mm-hmm. you know, I'm probably going to check that out a little harder. And there were just so many people that stood up, you know, in that press conference and said that they absolutely had seen evidence, met extraterrestrials, seen the crafts, like in hangars, et cetera.
Yep.
And to me, like they didn't look like they had that much imagination. They're the kind of people that I didn't think could really – I mean, did you find that convincing at all?
No. Here's why.
No.
Because
they're just
guy
like a whole bunch of liars, a whole line of liars.
That's Stephen Greer, right? The Disclosure Project
it's
is Stephen Greer's thing.
It's not so much
Greer's
about
thing.
Him.
Yeah.
He doesn't appeal to me as much as the people that he brought on who were mostly military
yeah.
guys.
Yeah. Here's the thing about military. Anybody who's in the military is a person. If you get 100 people together, one of them's out of their fucking mind. If you get 1 million people, you've got a shit ton of people that are out of their fucking mind that are running around that want extra attention. One of the best ways to say one of the best ways to get extra attention is to say you've had some extraordinary experience that separates you from the pack. It's one of the main points of delusion that people that are really out of their fucking mind will want to point to. I see things in people. I can read auras. I can tell. I'm a psychic healer. I'm an intuitive person. They all have this thing that separates them from the herd without any work whatsoever. I feel like a lot of these people are that. They want attention. And so they tell these extraordinary stories. Now, when you said they're not creative, that's a very astute point because they all have the same fucking story. Because it's the same story that's been going on forever. They just repeat shit they've already heard. Most of these people, I think, are full of shit. I think it is entirely possible that UFOs have been here. Entirely possible that people have seen UFOs. Entirely possible. But a lot of those people, my fucking bullshit radar just goes off. Bang, 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 bang,
really?
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. I've talked to too many of them. When I did that television show, Joe Rogan Questions Everything, and I met with UFO people and Bigfoot people. I was telling you before the podcast, it cured me. Because I got to be around those people for hours and just talk to them with no cameras on. I'm like, oh, you're fucking crazy. Or you're delusional. Or your way of looking at things is not objective. Or you're talking to me because you want to convince me of something. You're not just communicating the ideas that are actually in your head. You're pitching me some sort of a speech. You're like, you've got some sort of a performance you're doing for me.
Oh,
and I
okay.
smell it. And as a performer, I smell it. I'm like, this is nonsense. You're telling me nonsense. You know, they would tell me, well, you want evidence? I'll back a truck up and show you the evidence. I'm like, where's your fucking evidence? You don't
you
have any evidence.
You should have brought it today. I mean, like, this, yeah, well,
exactly.
Here's the thing. Did they seem as off kilter in everything else they talked about?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So they
everything.
Did. That
relationships,
would be convincing.
Relationships, yeah. Jobs, they're all screwballs. They're almost all screwballs. The people that are most convincing are the people that see these orbs flying around.
The pilots.
Yeah. Well, the reason why they see these things is there's a real phenomenon called ball lightning. It's absolutely real. And it's caused by various weather conditions. And they think that it could even be caused sometimes by the right weather conditions and the shifting of tectonic plates that somehow or another, the
yes.
friction. Yes. And that these ball lightning, if you've ever seen videos of it, it's phenomenal. It just flies around. They've even had it inside airplanes. Somehow or another, ball lightning has shot down the aisle of an airplane while it was in flight.
I've actually seen it.
Have you really?
I've actually seen lightning on a flight that was struck by lightning.
Whoa.
It was pink. And it sounded like a giant BB gun hit a tin can. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were in a plane that was hit by lightning?
Yes.
Holy shit. That's intense.
It was very intense. I was coming off a tour, and I wanted to get back to my very young son. I told him I'd be there in the morning when he woke up. So I ended like up going on this odyssey, like planes, trains, and automobiles, you know, trying to get to my son. Like, I was like, I will be there in the morning. And it was terrible weather. It was just like the worst on the East Coast. And we kept taking, I think twice we took off and had to land before we could get to our destination and get in the plane and go off again. And me being a crazy mom, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to get there. So I get in this plane and it's very bad. We're flying right through a thunderstorm. But I've flown so many times. My parents took me a million places. We traveled a lot when I was young, so I've just been flying forever. And we were on this plane, and the lightning's going off and thunder, and we're rattling around. And it's not a very big plane. And my seatmate, I think, I didn't know who he was, but he seemed like a decent, nice young man. And, like, the lightning just hit the plane. You get this big tang of the, you know, the shock of the electricity just hitting it. We drop about, I don't know what. I don't know what makes a big stomach drop, but we drop far. It's like 25 feet, I don't know, just like bam. And this pink ball of electricity just goes like whoosh down the aisle, in the center of the aisle. He pukes. I grab him. Like, and I did not let go of this stranger who just puked, like, until we were, you know, like, I just... It took about, you know, 10 minutes, and then I was like, but that was intense. And I made it. I was there in the morning when my son woke up. So.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's...
but it was incredible. The pinkness of it is still really vivid to my mind. And the ball lightning, it was a sphere
yeah.
that just came whooshing down the aisle.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was
yeah,
cool.
That's
I've
a real
lots
thing.
Lots of crazy plane almost crash stories.
Yeah? What else?
There was a time that the engine was on fire and I could see it. That sucked.
You could see it on fire?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where were you? Please don't say over the ocean.
Yeah. But not far. We were just off outside of Boston. We took off nighttime, again, after a show, trying to get home to my kid. I mean, this is like the saddest mom story ever, like trying to get home to my kid. And it was night, and I was looking at the lights, the sort of, I forget what they call it, those orange lights, you know, the, and it was over the bay, I could see the water, and we just weren't rising quickly enough. You know, just, I was like, why aren't we gaining altitude? What's going on? It just doesn't seem right. And someone on my left, I was in the last row, and someone on my left said something like, the engine's on fire, whatever, right as the captain comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem with one of the engines. We are going to have to make an emergency landing. Please remain in your seat, da-da-da. And I look over, and you can literally see flames shooting out of the, like, it, because the engine was about 10 rows ahead of me. But the sparks were visible behind, you know, because you're, holy, do you understand,
shit,
like, the physics?
Yeah.
So, like, it's a long trail of sparks coming right out of that thing. And so we get to the point where we're going to make our, like, landing. And to see the flight attendants scared shitless was not a fun experience. I think that frightened me the most, like, seeing their faces. And we had to get into the crouch position, you know, that position,
yeah,
the brace
yeah
yourself position. And the captain came on. I think the last thing he said, which was not reassuring, was, please brace for a very rough landing. And I'm thinking, if you're crashing, it doesn't, you can't say anything more than that.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, like, that's it. Please prepare for a very rough landing. And what happened? I know I'm, like, monologuing.
No.
But,
please,
like,
go.
What happened to my body at that moment was I went into, this only happened twice in my life, full tremors, like, full body. Do you know, have you ever had that? It's different than, like, nervous shaking or cold shaking. It's, like, full, and your body's just, like, completely vibrating, like, at another frequency. And I realized for the first time in my life that I didn't care if I was dead, like, in 2 seconds and I felt nothing. It really upset me that my body, my soft, squishy body, was going to be, like, pinned into metal.
Whoa.
It bugged me. Like, I really thought, like, we're never doing this again. Like, this, it just became very, very real that my, that I cared about this arm and I cared about this leg and I didn't want, like, it to be completely mangled and, like, stuck in metal. And we hit the, we got the ground. It was a very rough landing. And there were fire trucks going, like, 110 miles an hour on either side of us, spraying us with the deaccelerant or whatever that
yeah
is. And suddenly, like, foam on the windows. And are you ready for this? So it was not a fun thing, but we survived and no one was harmed. And then we had to get back on another plane because I had to go home to see my kids. So we literally sat there and waited and got right back on another plane.
Wow.
And flew home.
Well, you'd probably be like, what are the odds?
No, I wanted to see my kid.
Right.
But, like, that was an intense. I mean, that thing, you don't ever get to experience that unless you're, like, a combat person. Like, even if you're not conscious, I don't want this, like, all screwed up. I don't want to be, like, mangled.
Yeah.
No one does.
And the reality of it was, like, right there.
Right there. And I don't feel it anymore. I'm just as stupid and reckless as I ever was. But, like, in that moment, it was very real to me. You know, like.
Yeah. Fuck. I haven't had anything like that. That's intense. I don't know what's more intense, getting the hit by lightning or the fire. They're both pretty fucked up.
What about the Cessna that lost power over the Bermuda Triangle? Is that good?
You know what that is? They think it's nitrogen escaping from the sea floor. They think there's trapped nitrogen in massive amounts, you know, because there's a lot of, like, dead things and decaying things like vegetation, things like that. And they trap nitrogen pockets. And those nitrogen pockets, when they lift up, they can go through the surface of the water and up into the air. And if a plane is flying into that, it's methane. Is it methane? Wait a
methane.
Minute. Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, because nitrogen is everywhere.
Most of the air, yeah. It's like 84% of the air. But I think there's something about it being a giant pocket that you fly through. I might be wrong.
You're talking about the gas bubbles that escape nitrogen? In the tectonic
It's methane, yeah.
And it can like make a ship go down because suddenly there's no density.
Right, there's no buoyancy for the ships and also for planes. It makes, could be, yeah, okay.
This is awesome.
Gas explosions explain Bermuda
Triangle.
We can Google? Yeah, we can Google.
Oh my God.
This is how we roll it.
I'm never leaving.
Come stay. You can come anytime you want.
This is incredible.
We can come and just talk about UFOs every week.
Oh my God, this is incredible.
Explosions of trapped methane gas are thought to account for the mysterious craters in Siberia, including this one. Yeah, and so they think that it has to do something with the Bermuda Triangle as well. So when biological tissue creates methane, and when they have like massive amounts of die-off, whether it's fish or whether it's plants or things like that, they think that some of that stuff gets trapped in the bottom of the seafloor and then escapes, goes up to the surface, makes boats sink, and even can bring down planes.
But how would it make a plane
because
lose electricity?
Because if a plane fly – oh, I don't know. It really lost electricity. Would you hear that? You hear a plane lost electricity and that's
no,
what
I was
thought
in it.
Of? Oh, you
we
were in it.
We had to start it again.
Oh, that could have just been a shitty plane. he was that sounds
it's
like
the Bermuda Triangle. I'm sure the pilot absolutely told us that. You know what I mean? Like he's like, it gets the stuff gets a little fritzy up here over the Bermuda Triangle. We're buying it. It's just a shitty plane
probably
that he didn't like
plane.
Service.
Or you know,
oh
maybe
my God,
I'm
Joe,
naive.
You just like killed my story.
I might be naive.
I've been
it might
believing
be
that like this whole time. No, it's just
it
a shitty
be.
Plane.
Could be those planes
Methane.
Are shitty. Yeah, yeah, that's what they think. That's the most prevalent theory.
I would think you'd die if that bubble hit you just from poison.
A lot of it, right? Yeah, maybe.
Have you ever seen those underwater lakes of methane?
Yeah,
that's
creepy.
Beautiful, right? It's like water underwater.
Right, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. No, it's the ocean is amazing. It's pretty bizarre that it's just right there, that it's essentially an alien world. Like I've always said, like the ocean is really like space. Like, space is, like, above us all the time, but the ocean is kind of just like space. But it's right there. You can go in it. That's a whole other world. It's like a whole other world that's on our Earth, but we're just so used to it. It's like, oh, yeah, let's go surfing. Hey, let's get in a boat. You're, like, floating around in some fucking alien world that's right there. It's filled with life. All sorts of life that actually breathes water. Like, what? Yeah, it's bizarre.
That we came from.
Yeah, well... I was talking about it with my is that the lakes of methane underwater? That's nuts.
I think so.
God,
isn't that cool?
Damn, that
Look
is crazy.
They're like, I'm going to go by the lake. I just took a run around the shore.
That doesn't even look real.
It's like they're going around Silver Lake. That eel is just like cruising around Silver Lake, but it's a methane lake.
What was that movie?
Silver Lake is probably a methane lake too, but...
It's in other ways, yeah.
In other ways.
What was that movie where there was aliens underwater? The Abyss?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
was
yeah.
Was that it?
She has to drown to survive, and he has to resuscitate her.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Right, and they were like aliens would assume the shape of water. What's it called?
Aliens in the Deep? I think it's probably The Abyss, though.
It
I think it's
the
Abyss.
Yeah. And they were sort of pink, too. They were the same color as my ball lightning.
Dude.
Remember that pink
Dude.
From the...
Yeah. The only guy that I ever talked to when I was talking to those UFO people that I believed... about UFOs was a guy who was at Skinwalker Ranch. That whole area out there has a shitload of UFO sightings.
What's Skinwalker Ranch?
It's some place that this guy, Robert Bigelow, owns. And he's what makes it compelling is he actually is an aerospace investor. And he's got a company that makes all these parts and shit for different spaceships and different pods and things. Why does he do them? I mean, it's his business. But he also owns this gigantic ranch in Utah. And we went out to visit the ranch, and visit some of the people around there. And one guy that we talked to that lived around there was just regular dude. I think he worked in a factory, just a regular guy, not crazy, but super normal. Like, talk to him. Not a bullshit artist at all. And he's telling me about this glowing orb that came through the walls of his house and floated around inside of his living room and kitchen and then took off through the wall. And I said, like the way he described it, I absolutely believe that he was telling me the truth. And I think that was ball lightning. I think they have it a lot in that area. And so I think whatever the atmospheric conditions in that area, it's a frequent occurrence. And because of that, a lot of these people see things and then they start talking and then people start looking for them and then they start talking crazy. And then people start talking about, like, they were talking about a bulletproof wolf that appeared out of mist. And, like, for real. That was like.
You've got that out front.
Oh, the
That's
werewolf.
Your greeter.
Yeah.
That's the bulletproof wolf.
Yeah. But this guy was the only guy that made sense. And I think he saw ball lightning, just like you did.
But how could it be on the ground like that?
It could just happen, you know, if there's a storm conditions. But it does, it occurs not just up in the sky. It occurs at low altitude as well. You know, they say they don't know why. Apparently, I talked to a scientist about this. He was telling me that lightning shouldn't be possible. Like, there shouldn't be enough power to create lightning. There's like, if you do the calculations, he's like, but clearly we know it's true. So what do we do about that? We don't really know. We don't know enough about lightning. So when you describe ball lightning, he's like, well, good fucking luck. Who knows? What are the atmospheric conditions?
We don't know enough about it.
Yeah, we don't know what the conditions are. Like, what causes it?
What does that mean there's not enough energy for lightning? You can't marshal that much electricity in the atmosphere?
I'm too stupid to repeat what he said and have it make any sense. But when he was describing it to me, the way he was explaining it, and I think I read it as well. He was explaining, and what I read was that they don't really understand how that much energy is produced in the sky like that, and that if you calculated like what it would take to produce that shouldn't be possible. Again, I'm a moron, so talking about
I wish the expert were here, because
I wish he was
like
here
that's
too.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so this guy was talking about ball lightning. They were saying they don't know how to recreate ball lightning. They have no idea what causes it, but they're sure it's a real thing.
Wait, we can't recreate ball lightning in a lab environment?
I don't believe so.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I don't think they can recreate.
You know, you're right, because we can't generate that amount of power.
Yeah.
We literally can't generate, I mean, maybe with a bomb, but we can't generate that.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think we can't.
But I think that's what a lot of people are seeing. I think these people that see things, and then also the human imagination is so fantastic. Your memory's all fucked up. Memory's terrible, you know, so you see something and then you decide it's something different.
Yes.
And then you see it. I talked to another lady who told me she saw Bigfoot, and she wasn't she didn't seem like a bullshit artist. She seemed like she was being 100% honest. She didn't seem like she needed a ton of attention. She didn't seem crazy. And I think she saw a bear. I just think she saw a bear way in the distance, and she saw it very briefly because it was the Pacific Northwest and trees are very dense. I think she saw a big – it might have even been on two legs, because bears do that all the time.
They do that.
And I think she saw that, and in her mind, she saw a gorilla. It was, why am I looking at a gorilla? And then she had the story that just got concocted in her head, and she saw Sasquatch.
That happens. I mean, I'm convinced of certain things, and then I find out I'm completely wrong.
Like
you
ghosts?
Know, that does happen.
You believe in ghosts?
I told you to. You better back off the ghosts.
You believe in ghosts?
I used to believe a great deal. I still pretty much believe. Pretty much. I think basically this is my entire philosophy on all weirdnesses.
Okay.
If you look back 500 years to what they knew scientifically then, it's superstitious, it's magic, it's ridiculous, it's ignorant, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that that's exactly what we are now to 500 years in the future. So I don't consider it paranormal. I consider it future science.
Ghosts are future science.
Ghosts are future science. Aliens are future science. It's all future science, and I'm down for that.
Mm.
I'm ready to party with the future science.
I'm ready for that. I accept that. My problem is the people that tell ghost stories or those fucking ghost shows.
Those are so bad. They're so faked.
They make me
They're
angry.
So painfully faked. I really believed it for a while. Like, I really absolutely bought into it, hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, yeah.
I was like there watching the little – there's all different kinds of ghosts, like the ones that look like Ewoks or – not Ewoks. Which are the ones that are – the jet – the first movie, Star Wars, and they like wore their little robes and they were busy. They were like
– oh.
You know, the first ones
right.
that they're like,
what were those
we're
things?
Selling robots.
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't really have faces. They just had like cloaks.
They were the robot sellers.
Well, apparently there are ghosts that are little cloak creatures. And they scare the crap out of me.
The cloak ones do?
They move fast, and I don't understand what they're doing here. Like, but I mean, you can explain
you
demons.
Them?
You can explain demons if you think about like dog ghosts or wolf ghosts or lion ghosts.
That's a demon?
Could be. They growl. They have like weird eyes. They're hostile. They scratch you. Animal.
So you have a real belief in ghosts. It's
kind
real.
Kind of.
Like not 100%, but you have an open mind.
I bump into them sometimes.
For real.
And I don't see them, but I feel them and hear them. And the, like I know. Go ahead. Look, the little smile. That little smile. That's why I don't. We're talking about it because we're on the Weirdness podcast. But like, I don't talk about it because it just doesn't get a good response.
Well, I'm trying to be open minded. So when you, I believe you. You don't seem like a liar by any stretch of the imagination. But
I have a huge imagination.
I'm sure you do.
I could you're a very creative person. Tricking myself into something.
What do you feel? Like, what happens?
I just bump into them. Like they just. If you walk into a room, I mean, it happens maybe once a year.
Yeah.
And you walk into a room or you walk somewhere or something's going on and you just feel it. And it's very, very strong. And I talk to them. I just say like, mostly hotel rooms, let's just say. If I'm in a hotel room on tour and I'll either move if I don't like it or I'll just say alone in that room, I'll be like, hi, I'm playing a show at like so-and-so. I'm only here for 2 days, but I really need to get some sleep. You can come to the show. I tell them they can come to the show if they want.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm like, this is what I do for a living. And I try to like hear and think what they do for a living.
I would be psyched if I was a ghost and I found you. I'm like, this chick's cool. She's going to invite us to a show. I don't even want to scare her. Let her sleep, man. Let her sleep. Fuck that. I got the pots and pans ready. Right. I'm ready to make a racket. Let's wake this chick up. Nah, man, let her sleep. She's cool. Let's go to the show. You want
I
to
put
him
on my guest list. That's like, nice. You've got a plus one.
That's nice. You don't have to reserve a seat for them. They could be everywhere. Obviously, you have an active imagination. And do you think that maybe you're mind-fucking yourself at the time? Like when you're saying, when you're talking out loud, are you doing it because it's comforting? Because you enjoy it?
Probably. But if you asked me on a lie detector test whether I think I really encountered something, I'd say yes.
Whoa.
For sure. I mean, there's been enough experiences in my life that it just seems like just part of future science.
Mm. There's a guy named Rupert Sheldrake. He's a scientist, and he believes that things have memory. He thinks that everything has memory. He thinks that's why people don't want to live in haunted houses, you know, don't want to live in a house where someone died. He thinks that objects have memory.
And I agree with that.
They can't express it, but that they have it.
I agree with that.
It might be. Well, like, we haven't.
I think it's less the object retaining it. I mean, it must be retaining something. I think it's more our psychic ability to perceive
the energy.
The past.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think it's more like you see the chair and then you can psychically feel what happened in that chair. I'm not really sure how to, like, you're not seeing the chair imbued with some aura. You're actually looking into the past.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Because I've had dreams that were like prefiguring. I think you can dream if something's impactful enough. I think you can dream. Okay. Let's say something really bad happens to you. Imagine something horrible.
Okay.
I don't know. This studio explodes.
Okay.
A couple months maybe before then, you might have a dream, or let's just say something goes really, really wrong or bad, nothing traumatic. You might be able to have a dream ahead of time that would be how you would synthesize that traumatic experience, just as if it had happened before and you were dreaming after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Before.
You've had that happen?
I have.
What'd you have it happen with? This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. With summer coming up, I bet a lot of you have plans to travel, which is great. You should get out and experience the world. But I also know how stressful traveling can be. That's why I want to recommend Simply Safe. It provides award-winning security and peace of mind so you can have one less thing to worry about when you're away from your home this summer. I think Simply Safe is a great option for home security because it protects your whole home, inside and out. It has a variety of cameras and sensors to detect the worst of the worst, including fires, floods, break-ins, and more. Simply Safe has your back, and I especially like how there's no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it out confidently and really see if Simply Safe is a good fit for you and your place. Everyone deserves to have peace of mind when they're away from home, and Simply Safe can help give you that. So try it out today. Right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/Rogan. That's simplysafe.com/Rogan. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I'm saving that for my book.
Really?
Wow. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
But it was a very powerful.
You tell me after the show's over?
Yeah, absolutely.
I won't tell any of you. Fuck off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
But it was very convincing to me. And
really?
Hard to explain any other way.
Have you ever had any other sort of psychic premonition?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. What? Do you remember the last big fire we had in LA when it was like encroaching?
Really recently?
Yeah.
That one?
The night before that fire, I was out walking with my son. Again, my son. He's like all over this podcast. I don't know why, because he barely speaks to me at the moment. He's like, yeah, yeah, fine, good. Talk to you later. And I just felt incredibly uneasy. And he suffered from asthma when he was young and really badly. So when it would be – when there was a lot of particulate matter in the air or if it was just bad air conditions, I would tend to be very worried about him and keep him home or, you know, inform the teachers or whatever it was. Just he'd get really bad asthma attacks. And so I have a predisposition to be on the alert. But this is the night before. No fire had started yet. And I just was very anxious, and I couldn't settle down. And I couldn't think for months. I hadn't been like that. I mean, and I said to him, I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I feel kind of unsafe. If something happens tomorrow, you have to, like, you have to be my witness that I sensed something was coming. Now, you probably think I'm this horrible mother. I never do this. It happens, like, I think I've, like, said that to him twice in our entire life. And I forgot about it. The next day, I forgot about it. I didn't think about it at all until, you know, we were sucked in this sort of brown muck as we are. And, like, the sun became the eye of Sauron. And, everyone's, like, freaking out. And we're looking at all these images. And I was so distracted by all these images that I completely forgot my sense the night before. And what I think that was, until I remembered it. Then I called up and I'm like, ah! And I think it's more like I don't know something's coming, but I have maybe time. Maybe the envelope of time is a little bit more mushy than we think. Mm. Maybe we perceive time as very orderly and very linear, but maybe it's really not. And it could be pushing back. Like the experience, maybe I had the experience before I perceived the experience, or I don't know what that is, but that happens to me a lot.
I've heard people describe...
Nobody likes hearing about it, by the way. I never talk about this stuff in my real life because nobody likes it.
What do you mean?
It makes people uncomfortable and they look at you funny. So I just never talk about it except for on the podcast weirdness.
Well, why would it make them uncomfortable?
It just does.
I'm fascinated by that because I don't experience it. I've never had a premonition that came true. But I do have a really good ability to know if someone's crazy. I'm really good at that.
Apparently I'm not.
No, you're not crazy.
No, I mean, I don't know if someone's crazy.
You don't? You've known a lot of crazy people?
Blind spot there. You know, like.
That's weird. You can pick out fires in the distance.
Right.
But you can't pick out nuts.
Yeah, not so much.
I don't have any psychic ability, though. How do you know, though? I don't.
If you can tell if someone's crazy or not, you might have some. I mean, you might have some perception that's
I think it's pattern recognition and data chunking. I've met so many people that when I see things that are off, little things that are off, and you probe, like you're talking, little things are off more, and you're like, you see, you're looking into the eyes, you see calculations, you're like, okay, something's going on here. This is not a, this is not a normal person. This is a person putting on a normal mask. Like there's something off here. It just smells fishy. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it's that.
Do you ever have them as guests? I mean, are they ever sitting across from you?
Oh, yeah.
Being batshit crazy? What do you do?
I've had people on where I was sure they were pilled up. For sure. I'm like talking to them like, this motherfucker's Adderall to the gills. Like,
what do they look like when they're Adderall?
They just have a way of talking. There's just something about the way they talk. They're not really... Liz Phair, it's not what it's about. It's not about me. It's about the future. It's about children. It's about the society. What I'm trying to do is be an entrepreneur. I want to build businesses. They just start.
InfoWars.
No. Alex Jones, we got him high and drunk. And he was talking about interdimensional...
Here on the show? Yes. Live on the show? Is that what goes down here? Yeah. Am I like, oh, look at this. I am in a den of iniquity. Look at this. We've got some like... That's some something. What is that?
Do you want some? We could fire this
No,
up.
God. I don't know what will come out of my mouth.
Good stuff. Don't be scared.
Huh. But those are like Snoop Dogg type things, right? Those are like... What do they call them?
They're joints.
They're backwoods.
No, they just have brown paper. You don't have to have any.
Oh, my God. We're literally getting high right here?
Yeah. Jamie does. We do it all the time.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a podcast. You can do anything. It's
illegal. I'll take a tiny hit.
Take a tiny hit. There we go. This That's what crazy. I'm talking about. It's definitely not crazy. It's marijuana. It's legal. It's good for you. It's a staple of civilization.
Yes, but what will happen?
Nothing.
I don't know.
You'll say cool shit.
Does it have cigarette stuff in it?
No.
That's a cigar leaf, though.
No, no, it's not. Just brown paper. No? Good?
I'm going to try this. I'll settle.
Settle. You good?
I'll settle and see what goes
Jamie's
down.
Jamie's going deep. Yeah, we smoke pot. It's okay.
I smoke pot.
I'm sure you do. You just did.
I just did.
There's proof. There's evidence. People are worried. I mean, if we had a casual drink, you know, if we had said a glass of whiskey or something, no one would care. But marijuana, you're like, oh, my God.
It is weird. Doing? It's like, now it's okay. Like, now it's fine.
Finally. Finally, it's okay.
Yeah,
finally.
I agree. 30 years of watching people drink really sucked.
Yeah.
I was never much into alcohol.
No?
I prefer marijuana, yes.
Well, you're a sensitive person. It makes you more sensitive.
Marijuana does?
Sure.
Really? Yeah,
I think so, for sure. It makes you more aware, more considerate, thinking about more possibilities. I mean, that's what people call paranoia. Really, it's like a lot of times people live with blinders on. And marijuana just comes along and goes, hey, let's just take those over. And puts a spotlight and like, look at the back of your brain. Whoa, look at this shit you're hiding.
That's exactly right. It is. It's like shining a flashlight into your unconscious. Like, what's back there in my closet?
Oh, look, you've been hiding this. Bring it
That's
out.
So cool.
Let's get a look at it. Let's talk to it.
That is what the paranoia is. I agree with that. It's like people suddenly are self-conscious. They see themselves in a new way and they're like, mm-hmm. I can't handle this. Because that's like 40 years of...
Denial. Yeah, and all these different mechanisms that you've kind of like psychological mechanisms that you've utilized to try to hide these thoughts from yourself or try to skip past them really quickly. Oh, I've got that under control and just skip past it and move on to some new thing. It's a common thing. People love to do it.
Oh, that's crazy. I feel like mellow.
Yeah, it's good.
I like that.
It's good
that
stuff.
That knocked my energy down just a nice, nice amount.
Puts you in
that's
a calm place.
That's
kind
of what I need, like about 10% energy knockdown.
Right.
Maybe 15%.
Yeah, like a half a hit. That's what you need. Like just a little, just where you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Pause. Beat.
Pause. Everything's fine.
Beat.
Fine.
I like that salt lamp. That's the biggest one I've ever seen.
It's the biggest one I could find. But it's too big. They don't look as cool as the small ones because the small ones, there's not as much salt, so the light comes through more.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It looks cool on paper, and then you get it, and you're like, oh, I don't think it's cool.
You got the awesome skull there of the longhorn.
That is actually an Asian water buffalo.
Is it?
My friend Adam Greentree shot in Australia.
That's really cool.
Yeah, he brought it from Australia for me when he was a guest on the podcast.
How did he fly that?
He just put it in the carry-on. No. Can you imagine?
Wait, and it wasn't even boiled down yet?
No, it was
just
boiled
the
down.
Head. You know what
like
I mean?
Like, just like, blood flies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like,
putting it over head, Mike. No, he checked
It'll
it.
It'll fit. It'll fit.
I don't know if he wrapped it up. He must have, because he wouldn't want the bones to crack or break, get knocked around. But
that's
he wrapped it up. Yeah, it's pretty dope. Yeah, he's a wild man bow hunter, and he goes up to the northern area of Australia. Australia, all the animals, essentially the large mammals, are all invasive species. So they have to hunt them because they don't have predators.
Uh-huh.
So he goes up there and shoots water buffalo with a bow and arrow.
That's cool.
Brought one
That's
back for me.
That's extremely – I respect that as opposed to other types of hunting. I really respect the idea of like mano-a-mano
right.
going out there and being like
– What don't you respect like –
Just don't go
trophy
kill
hunting.
The big yeah. Trophy hunting can fuck off entirely.
It's a weird thing. It's weird that it's almost like people hunted entirely for food, and then they got enough food, and they go, well, I want to shoot that thing too. You know, it's like they got into shooting things, and it became a thing of not just shooting stuff for food, but shooting stuff, even if you can't justify it. Like there's some animals like. There's certain hunts that they put on where they kind of have to control populations of these things, like grizzly bears and stuff like that, when they start encroaching.
Mm-hmm.
Even wolves, there's certain populations of wolves they have to control in the Northwest. But you get to, like, elephants and tigers and lions and, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? You're a man. Explain that to me. What is – why does it make you feel important – since you had a gun.
Mm.
I mean, a gun, you stand back, you sit in the bushes for, I don't know, 8-12 hours, and then you pull a trigger.
This doesn't even necessarily make them feel important. It's just because they can do it, and it's exciting. Like, have you ever shot a rifle?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you go to a rifle range, it's exciting. It's fun to just shoot paper. Put paper targets out there and shoot them. It's fun.
Yeah.
It feels good. There's something about, like, aiming, boom, and hitting where you want it to go. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And so once then there was a real problem is in Africa, it becomes incredibly profitable for the people that live there. And then those animals are thriving because they protect them and have hunters come in and pay shitloads of money to hunt them. So their numbers are really healthy, which is really crazy. Because, like, for the longest time, most of the animals in Africa that are hunted now in plentiful numbers were on the verge of extinction.
And well, then I think a lot of them still are. I mean, maybe not extinction, but I don't think that they have an abundance of the big five over there anymore.
It depends on where you are. But Africa, obviously, is fucking huge. Have you ever seen what it looks like when you took America inside of Africa?
Yeah, it's like sits like, over Jesus. In the Sahara. it's like it just sits in the Sahara.
This tiny little bitch-ass country we have. But in Africa, there's many animals that were 20 years ago on the verge of extinction that are thriving, and it's because of hunting. So some of it makes sense.
Thriving in a tiny little zone. I mean, they're not thriving worldwide.
They're overall numbers. There's the other problem that I have with people calling a lot of the people that hunt over there poachers. They call it like poachers, the poachers poaching me. That's just people who are poor. That's all it is. It's just like incredibly poor people that are trapping these animals. And some of them, like if they're shooting rhinos and stuff like that, they're not doing it because they're evil. They're doing it because they're fucking desperate. I mean,
that is their game.
Yeah.
I mean, it belongs to them. It's their country. It's their game.
If you believe people own animals, yeah.
But I think as everything, like depending on your perspective, how much of just like we were talking about when you get high and suddenly like your territory expands of what your awareness is, same difference. Like this is their country, these are their native population of animals.
Right.
So it's theirs. Mm-hmm. But like taking in a broader scope, that should be utterly protected and expanding territory rather than like a little theme park for rich Westerners to come in and shoot shit.
Yeah, it's weird. Have you ever seen do you know who Louis Theroux is?
Sounds
He's
familiar.
A documentarian from the UK. He's got a great special that he did where he went over to one of those wild game parks and stayed with these weirdos, and these rich American people that go over there to shoot shit. And he was over there for like weeks and finally just drove the guy crazy. So the guy was just like breaking it down to him what's really going on. He was basically just saying in this crazy accent, Africa is fucked. This is what you have to understand. Africa is fucked. And this African guy is explaining it to him. Like this is the only way these things are going to survive. If you think that you're going to remove these fences and remove the profit, these people are going to come in and slaughter these things, and they're not going to think at all about the future. They're not going to think at all about preserving the populations or them going extinct. They don't think about it at all. They're just going to wipe them out, just like they're doing with rhino horn. They know rhinos are worth thousands and thousands of dollars a horn, so they just shoot those fucking things. They don't care. They don't. Their children are starving. If they find out that they could sell this rhino horn and get X amount of $100 or whatever they give them for it, they'll just shoot it. Like that's their concern is not for rhinos. Their concern is for their family or they're in extreme poverty.
Yeah.
I mean the poverty that they have over there is spooky, you know. And in mass. I have a buddy of mine who makes wells for the pygmies in the Congo, and he goes over there all the time. And he's actually a fighter. He fights for Bellator. He's one of their top heavyweights. And he spends like 3 to 6 months a year in the Congo. Guy caught malaria 3 times. He's an animal. His name's Justin Wren. He's a beast.
Wow.
Such a sweet, amazing person. But he goes over there and he says, you can't believe the kind of poverty. He sleeps in a grass house when he's there, just like they do. These, you know, they sleep on the – they have, you know, no floors. This is him over there. That's him with the people. I mean, he's just
a cool. What are the leaves that they put on the roof?
I don't know. Just leaves from some local plants that they use to make their houses. But he, you know, when he tells you what it's like over there in the extreme poverty, and most of these people were dying because of waterborne diseases.
Uh-huh.
So he created this charity called Fight for the Forgotten, and he goes over there and they build wells, and they've built a ton of wells. We actually contribute to it, and we there's one of our sponsors, the Cash App, They every time you sign up for it, they give $5 to these people.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, clean water is the most essential. I mean, yeah. What a brilliant.
Well, there's a company called Water4, water4.org, water and the number 4. Those people are also connected with him, and they just do this everywhere. They do this all over, you know, impoverished countries. Go there and just dig wells. You could change the whole thing because all these people, they have distended bellies because they're filled with parasites, and they have all these waterborne diseases, and they're just dying.
The girls don't go to school because they spend all day walking to the water source.
Well, nobody goes to school. The pygmies, like they're incredibly uneducated. I mean, and then unrepresented and not respected or appreciated and discriminated against. And you know, this is why this guy who's just big hulk of a man says this is what I'm going to concentrate on. These small forgotten people. It's really pretty amazing.
That must be so rewarding just to see the difference he's making.
Yeah, I always feel like such a loser whenever I hang around with him. Like, I'm worried about what I'm going to eat for lunch. He's flying to the fucking Congo to catch malaria for the fourth time.
Fourth time.
Yeah.
God.
He's had it 3 times.
That's crazy.
That's fucking nuts. That shit kills people.
Doesn't he just get the shots? What's the deal?
Well, you can't. You
the
can't
pills
really
or something?
Totally stop it.
You
the
can't.
Problem is when you get it once, it stays in your system. He's gotten it again
it's
when he got a cold. Like herpes. Like he got it again when he got a cold.
Is that true? Malaria stays in your cells forever?
According to him. Yeah, he got it when he wasn't even over there.
God.
Yeah. And I think...
You're changing my idea about my Nile trip that I want to take. My bucket list Nile trip. I want to get one of those big houseboat things with like... Have you ever seen them? They're like double-deckers. And then they have the top thing. And it's just like a bunch of sort of like... game zones, like it's just like, you know, cool lounge chairs with like covering. It's all very open air. It just feels like you'd be having cocktails up there at sunset, walking around talking to all your family and friends.
You do it like one of those European,
and you know,
explorers.
What I do, here's what else I do. I'd make sure I had like a security boat behind me
for the kidnappers and shit.
I'd have my little security boat that was like a really zippy fast one, you know. Just in
that
case.
Would be good. You would definitely need that for sure. Yeah, fuck that place, though. Crocodiles alone. I have a friend who went over there. He has a show called Uncharted, where he just travels all over the world and goes on these adventures. And they flew him into this, I think it was the Congo, because this local village was having a problem with the people there getting eaten by crocodiles.
Oh, God.
And everyone in the village is, like, missing an arm. They have bites
God.
Taken out of their legs. Oh, yeah. These poor people. I mean, they live – this is the only place where the water is. They have to go there. They even create these little fences where they like try to fence in the area so the crocodiles can't get to that spot. They still get in there somehow and fuck these people up because they've gotten accustomed to eating them.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I
no.
thought it was just territorial.
Oh, no.
It was just like a
no.
you know, like a waterhole tension.
Well, animals are like – they're opportunists. And once they decide that you're food, that's when it becomes a real problem.
So there's really like man-eating crocodiles?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's definitely man-eating crocodiles. Is this Jim Shockey? Yeah, this is my friend Jim.
Mozambique.
And this guy is missing. Yeah, it's in Mozambique.
Jeez.
This guy's missing in hand. This guy's missing his whole arm.
That's the fence? Well, no wonder they
that's
can get in.
That's my friend Jim. He's a lovely Canadian fellow who travels everywhere. So he's a hunter, and they flew him in to kill these crocodiles for them.
Nice.
It's crazy. I mean, look at that fucking thing. You imagine you're living right there, and there's just goddamn dinosaurs everywhere.
No, and furthermore, if you can get rid of the, I don't know, it must be a learned behavior because most crocodiles aren't doing that.
It's just that they're near people. Their brains are so small, and they're so reptilian that what they're just trying to do is eat. And if it's moving, they're going to try to eat it. And if it's a person, it's not like they're targeting people, but they found out that they can
totally
get people.
True.
Crocodiles?
I don't think they're just going to eat any old thing.
I think they eat everything they can eat. They're giant. We're talking about an 1,800-pound lizard that's been the same, in exactly the same form for 60-plus million years.
You could say
what
the same about sharks, and they don't just go eat you.
They would if they could. If they just decided to start eating people.
No, I've been with sharks, and they don't
sharks
eat you.
People get eaten by sharks.
No, they don't.
They don't ever. No one's ever been eaten by sharks.
Occasionally they're eaten, like very occasionally. No.
Very
occasionally. They are not eaten by sharks generally.
Well, we're not on
sharks
their
menu. Sharks don't
have
a taste for our blood, is what you're saying. Yeah.
We're not on the menu.
We're not on the menu.
But they will eat us.
They will bite you to get you out of their zone, or they might mistake you and bite you.
They eat you because they think you're something else.
Well, they don't. You're saying eat, which means like you sit down and you finish the meal, right? I think that rarely happens.
Usually they just bite you in half and just go, fuck, this tastes like shit. I'm going to go find a
seal. They're like, get the fuck out of my zone, you know, and like, that's the end of you.
Some animals that actively target people and it becomes a giant problem, like in India. In India, there's this river, there's this place called the Sundarbans.
The bull sharks.
No, these are tigers.
Tiger sharks?
Yeah, bull sharks are very aggressive, and they do kill people. But these aren't tiger sharks. They're tigers, just the cat. They kill a lot of people.
They'll eat you.
Yeah, they eat the shit out of you. Yeah.
They'll sit down and, like, put the napkin in their collar and get, like, their, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they actively hunt people in this one place, and they've been doing it for hundreds of years. They said over the last 200 years, 300,000 people have been killed by tigers in the Sundarbans.
What?
Yep. Over the last 200 years. 300,000 people have been killed by tigers.
I don't know what to do with that number. It seems implausible.
It's insane. Well, it's just so common. First of all, India has 1 billion people, right? And a lot of them are really poor, and they're living by these rivers, and these cats are everywhere, and it's tall grass. Have you ever seen that video of the cat, the giant tiger, leaping up and attacking the guy when he's on an elephant?
No.
Dude. This is
just
shows. Yeah, well, shows
you.
Pull it up, Jamie. It shows you how crazy India is. This guy's on top of an elephant, and he's walking this elephant through this grass, and this tiger runs through the grass and leaps up into the air and fucks him up while he's on this elephant.
I shouldn't laugh, but it's kind of funny. It's like,
it's kind of funny.
What a hell of a tiger!
They're insane. I mean, if a tiger was in a movie as a monster, it would be one of the scariest monsters ever.
I can't play this on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We can't play it on YouTube, but just...
Everyone knows what it is.
Yeah.
Wait, why can't you play it on YouTube?
They'll pull it down because somebody owns this. Yeah, they have copyright. So here's the guy. So he's on top of this elephant. Now look at the grass, and they spot it, and then the thing starts running. Look at this.
Whoa. Yep, it is on. Oh, my God.
The fart jumps.
What a jump.
And it's going after him. It knows that he's up there. Look at it. It's like, bitch.
Well, if I were the elephant, I'd just mess that tiger up.
Tore the guy's arm apart. The elephant didn't really give a fuck. It's just hanging out. Look, the elephant's like, whatever, bitch. Tigers can't kill me.
Can an elephant even that size just stomp on it? Pretty sure.
Tigers don't kill elephants, but lions do. And when lions do, they're really hungry, and they get a bunch of them, and they gang up on an elephant.
Okay, don't talk about it, because you're going to talk about the baby elephants that get ganged up on first.
Oh, it's not even necessarily babies. They'll take out a real elephant.
Well,
like
not if it's
grown
with the herd.
Right. What is this? Trying to save a goat. Woman fights off tiger with a stick. Jesus. Let the goat go. Christ, lady. It's a fucking goat.
I like the kangaroo punching ones. That's my favorite. That dude, I want to marry that dude.
Oh, that dude that,
like,
that
he's out there and like
the
there's
kangaroo.
This squaring off, you know, where he's like trying to figure it out, and then he just like pops him right.
People were mad at that guy.
It was so cute.
But if you're
so
an
funny
animal lover, the kangaroo is fucking up his dog.
Those male kangaroos fight all the time.
They
They're always like punching. That was just like a really fun.
Well,
this
they
is
choke
the
each other.
Yeah, and he's going to get his dog. So I would do the same thing.
Off.
I would run right out there.
It's because it's got the dog in its grip.
This guy's so awesome. Yeah.
Look at kangaroos are so weird. They don't even seem real.
They seem too human.
Yeah, look at that. Look
here
at
we
it
go.
Squares off.
Squaring off. Thinking about it. Bam!
It's like, yeah, bitch.
I just love the kangaroo does not know what to do. He's like, am I supposed
to
fight
do
you?
He doesn't know what to do.
He's so cute.
He's like, fuck this. What a weird animal that it bounces off like that so on two
great
legs.
Great guy, though, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure. And also that he didn't follow up.
What do you think they were – what was it doing? Like just fighting it or playing
the
with it?
The dog was barking. The kangaroo decided to grab a hold of the dog and get him in a headlock. And that's what they do.
Which
they
is
do
really
that to
nice,
each other.
Right? Like that's like generally giving you time to react a different way. That's giving you a moment to not escalate.
Yes. Sure.
Because
the dog's
– I mean, if you see the beginning of the video, he's running around this kangaroo. He thinks he's hunting. He thinks he's like alerting his – company in the car to the target, right?
Oh, yeah. They don't even seem like a real animal. They seem like something from an Avatar movie, right?
I want to cuddle with them all. When I see like wild animals, like all this. I want is to take them all home and just cuddle with them.
Guy punched it right in the face.
I mean, look
too
at the fur on its belly. You know that fur on the belly is really like soft.
Do you think that's a mama? Do you think that's
no,
a pouch?
No, I think that's a dude.
That's a douche? I don't see.
Well, he's not as
apparatus
big as he's.
I think that's a woman.
It might be because she's not very big.
Well, that also makes sense too. That's what that pouch is, no, where the tummy. Thing. What's that?
I think there's a little thing right there.
It says something.
No, what's that?
What?
That little thing hanging down there. You see that?
Like
that's
a penis
a tail
thing?
No, the tail's back here.
No, that can't be the penis.
Bro, their tail's huge.
Right.
Oh wait, that's not, move it's like it, move it a second. It? No, that is a penis.
Yeah.
Come on. Look right Where's there. The balls?
It's bouncing around.
There it is.
Maybe that's just like the, nope. the balls curtain might be for the vag.
But he isn't a very developed kangaroo. He's not going to win many fights.
Yeah.
He's sort of a beta there.
Right. There's some giant kangaroos. Those big scary ones. Look at this one. Knocking on the door. Hey, man. Hey, man. Let me in. Look at the claws on those fuckers.
Oh, yeah. That's scary. Jesus. That's what I'm saying. When he put the dog in the headlock, he could easily have taken care of that dog, but he didn't. He like...
Yeah.
He kept the head. He was like, I'm shutting this down.
I really think we're misgendering. I think we're misgendering that kangaroo. I think it's a girl.
See,
that one looks like a dude. See, look, the difference. You see his cock.
No, I think they're the look same. At that one. That's I think a they're
dude.
The same.
That one's super
that
jacked.
That is a dude.
Why? Maybe.
Kangaroo chases people.
It's because it has muscles.
Is it really chasing people? Yeah, because it has muscles. Maybe it's a female. It does a lot of CrossFit.
It's a golfer. The secret life of golfers. Like there's crocodiles on the golf courses. There's yeah. kangaroos. What else is like going on for those golfers?
Deer.
Lightning.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Golfers die.
Yeah. Golfers.
They're holding onto a piece of metal.
Yeah.
How many golfers die every year from lightning strikes? I say three.
A lot.
It happened to somebody I know, or my parents knew. I was there when it happened. I think.
He died.
You were there.
Yeah. There was like a. They were all in the clubhouse, and he must have stepped outside because he thought nothing would happen. And yeah, lightning struck.
Wow.
We used to hear about that all the time, right? Like people would have to come home. And
how many people do you think, Liz Fair? Take a guess.
What, every
how
year?
How many number every year?
Well, I'm going to go with strikes over deaths. I was going to go because I'm going to say strikes. I'm going to say there's about struck by lightning, at least a couple hundred.
Couple hundred? Struck golfers by, or regular folks?
Oh, golfers. Just golfers. Yeah, just golfers. Just golfers. Yeah. Ooh. I'm going to go with worldwide?
United States.
Just United States?
Yeah.
That seems unfair.
Okay, worldwide.
Worldwide, I'm going to go with 25.
I like it. I was going to say 23 worldwide. Okay. I say three deaths in the United States per year.
These are just strikes. These are not deaths.
The United States averaged 51 annual lightning strike fatalities over the last 20 years.
We underestimated. We lowballed that.
In second
51
position.
A year? Okay, but how many of those guys are golfers?
That's what I typed in, actually.
And how many of them are assholes with a kite with a key hanging off of it?
I typed in how many golfers die each year from lightning, but how many people?
How many people are Coachella? You know, like
right.
There you go. 5% of the annual ones happen on golf courses. So 5% of 51 yeah. is like.
We overestimate it.
Yeah.
10.
Two and a half. No, something like that. Yeah. Not a lot.
Two.
Yeah, I said three.
You missed how bad I am at math.
If you can't be as bad as me.
5% of 51 is 10.
There's no way you're as bad as me.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm bad. I'm very bad. I think that's inherited, too. My kids suck at math, too.
I figure if you don't have to, like, if you can look it up easily, like names, dates, math.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to remember that.
Well, that's what I'm saying to my kids. I'm like, look, you see the phone? The calculator. Learn how to do that.
I'm delegating. I'm delegating that to Google.
Yeah. Let Google figure it out. Trust in Google. Trust in your
overlords.
I'm
going to do the heavy lifting. I'm going to do like the big picture.
Yeah. Trust in your overlords.
What are all these little gizmos? What
is that is a clock made by TGT Studios. It's a guy who's he's an artist, and he makes these things all out of – it's all handmade out of wood and walnut, and he gets these Russian – what are those things called? Those things that are inside of it?
A little
Nixie
dolls.
Tube. Nixie tube.
Nixie
tube.
Yeah.
And that's how he gets it to read the numbers and
but
shit.
What is it saying? What does it mean? Is it a
just 147. It's the time. 147 and 46 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah. He's badass. He does a lot of really cool shit. He's a craftsman. He does a lot of like really fascinating stuff. You got his Instagram page? TGT Studios.
Do you ever check Daily Mail for like the hideous side of life?
I check the internet for the hideous
take
side
a
of
walk
life.
Down the hideous
what do you,
side.
What do you check?
I do check Daily Mail. It's like my horrible. And I despise like myself
stuff?
Every time I do.
There's a dude's website.
That's nice.
Pretty dope, right?
Yeah, it is really cool.
Yeah, he makes cool stuff. So what are you like? What are you looking for?
I really just want the gossip. I'm just there to find out.
Dirt.
It's like going to the the well in the village.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what's going on with
it. It's exactly what it is.
But then they always sneak in something like utterly devastatingly just shocking and awful. Like you know, what? they'd have Kim Kardashian next to like the ISIS beheadings, and it would be like side by side, so you couldn't miss it. And I right. know that that's part of like your friend the hunter, the adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. I know that's part of why I go there, because my system might be shocked a little bit.
Yeah,
but it's a revolting impulse. Like that's the worst of me.
It's like a big tub of ice cream that's in your fridge every day, and you know you shouldn't eat it.
And you do. You
just
down
eat
in
it.
Your
you know it's bad for you.
You eat it in the middle of the night.
And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why did I do that?
Remote.
Every time I watch one of those videos after it's over, I'm like, why the fuck did I watch that?
Yeah. Do you think that stuff like adds up in your brain? Like how much of our stress and unhappiness and all that kind of stuff that culturally everybody feels is because you expose yourself to things you just shouldn't know about in the moment?
I think for sure. For sure it has an effect. It's a matter of does it have an effect as far as raising awareness of consequences of devious actions, or does it have an effect in that you're always worried about it and so it sort of manifests itself more often because
the
it's
latter.
Constantly in your head?
The latter.
Probably. Makes
yeah.
sense.
And then we need a cup of coffee, a drink, and a joint, right?
Yeah, just to try to unwind
and
find
and
a group
food.
Of people that you could hang out with that you trust, that are cool, to protect you from all those fuckers coming over the fence. Right? I mean, that's what everybody's worried.
Full circle.
That's what everybody's
full
worried
circle.
About. I mean, that's what we're worried about Russia, right? Everybody's worried about Russia, right?
Pissed. I'm not worried. I'm pissed.
Did you see that thing that they're parking submarines over the power line, over the internet lines?
I was wondering about that.
What
just
the
to be
fuck
a dick?
Is that? I don't know. Like, probably to let us know. Hey, fucker, we could cut line with no problem.
If that happened, how fast do you think it would take before we got something back up again? Or how fast?
Well,
how long?
Isn't it crazy that there's a line that goes across the fucking ocean, and that's how the internet works?
Yes. There are times when I will sit and dream about those lines. And I'll just sit there thinking, I'll see this sort of greenish murk. And then I'll hear the silence and that clicking sound that you hear under, you know, with all the fishes eating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, literally, like, clicking stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll picture these lonely-ass cables just draped down the side of a cliff, like, in the great abyss.
Ooh.
And, like, I'll just picture their loneliness for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many there are.
That's intense. Whoa, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You imagine if aliens came here and saw that, they'd be like, what in the fuck are these crazy
yes.
assholes doing?
Wires. I asked my son what he thinks we're going to look back on in the future and think was like the craziest thing we lived with. And he said wires. And I thought that was kind of brilliant.
That's what a kid would say, right? That lives
but
in
I
this
mean,
world today. That is brilliant.
Imagine,
wireless charging.
If I didn't
wireless
have
internet.
Wires, I could just play live and move anywhere around on the stage. I didn't have to stand in front. I mean, the
right.
fact that we stand in front of a mic, I know there's a great tradition, and it's really cool in rock and roll. But I personally feel very hemmed in by this mic stand. I
have you ever
stand.
Thought about going straight Bobby Brown?
I did. And I was like, all my friends just took me aside, and they were like, no.
Can't do it?
Can't do it.
But it works for Anthony Robbins. He does it. Everybody, come on. Pop your hands. Feel the energy. He does it, right? Doesn't he go Bobby Brown?
He runs all over the arena, though.
Whenever it's anybody wears those, it's Bobby Brown, period. Like, he did it. He did it for My Prerogative. That's it for the rest of everyone's life.
Yeah.
That's a Bobby Brown. He's got a Bobby Brown. I know a comic who does that.
Really?
He does his act with one of those
Wait,
things.
Wait, why?
Oh, exactly. I fucking don't get it. There's Anthony Robbins. Look at him. Big, beautiful son of a bitch.
Hey, at one point I bought the box set.
Hey.
You know, at one point I was like trying in my car to listen to my positivity.
Look, he's got some very good points. He says some things that really can work. You know, it's like, here's the thing. Anthony Robbins is like any delicious meal. You do not want to eat it all fucking day, every day. And if you hear too much Anthony Robbins, you're like, okay, fucking enough. I get it. Be positive. Put out the energy. Like, look at him. Yes, we're going to walk on coals. Yes. It's weird, too,
is
right?
Is that what he's doing? Is he walking on coals?
He does
why
do that.
Why is he wet?
He does do that. But here's what's interesting about
today.
Do we
today. Know why he's wet there?
Because he's fucking jacked and he's just running and sweating up a storm and getting these people pumped. Maybe it's raining out.
Could it's got to be raining.
It's like rain, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. They do this firewalk thing, which is essentially, here's the thing. Coals.
Oh, my God. Look at him.
You know
all
those,
I'm going to try all this on stage.
Ah, he's throwing
I'm
going to
get
back.
Wet. I'm
going to
throw
Chuck
my
Liddell.
Arm down and be like. Ah.
Yeah. Go for it.
With my Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
This is all going to happen with my Bobby Brown.
If you have one of those, you could be totally wireless, right? Just hook it up into a backpack, wireless action. One of them little
free,
things sits
free
on your belt.
Fare.
Yeah,
free fare.
Whoa.
Free her. She's tired of
that.
Things.
Should be a T-shirt that just says free fare, and it's just the Bobby Brown thing. Like a silhouette of your head with just the dark Bobby Brown thing over your face.
No,
someone's going to make it
no.
by the end of this podcast.
But that's not even what I
someone will have
want.
That, and we're going to put it up on Instagram.
I don't want the Bobby Brown. I want a parabolic parachute thing over my whole stage. So anywhere I go. Don't they have that for sports now? They have this like parabolic microphone thing where they can like zoom in on the coach talking or zoom in on.
Yeah.
I think so. They got this thing where like it's very directional.
Right.
It's like a laser of a microphone. So it can be up in the ceiling of the arena and then they just point it at somebody and they can go right in and hear their conversation.
That's like probably some CIA shit, right?
They've been using it.
Do you know that they can listen to what you say in a room by monitoring the window and the vibrations of normal human conversation has enough of an effect on the window that they can translate that into speech.
That's insane.
Whoa.
That's insane.
They know the noises you're making based on the effect it has on a window in a room. You don't even have to be screaming. Just talking.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's real.
Well, don't you kind of just assume that we're being listened to all the time,
oh, for sure,
everywhere.
Now, after Edward Snowden and all that stuff, after, you know, the releases of...
I feel like I've got at least two fans listening in to me at all times.
At least. In your house?
Just in...
Probably.
No, in like the NSA. Like there's two Liz Phair fans that are like...
I'm sure there's more. Yeah, they're probably bored. Like, they're like, well, I'm going to find a terrorist. But
exactly.
First, I'm going to see if Liz Phair is masturbating. Yeah. It's probably a lot of that.
I actually thought about that the other day because I screwed up my knees and I've been doing this thing where I like put my elbows into my legs as I'm sitting watching TV or something and kind of give myself a massage. But if you were listening through the audio of my phone or anything, you'd just think I was constantly masturbating. It was like this kind of like rubbing motion
like,
on my legs
yeah,
all the time.
Right there. And you're like, all right.
They're like, she's never getting off. She keeps stopping. What's the problem? What's the blockage?
Yeah, she's frantic. It's weird. It's like she's obsessed.
Like, what are those, like, the primates that are constantly...
Bonobos.
Yeah, bonobos.
Yeah.
Bonobos.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're going to get to a point where everybody can listen in on everybody. That's what I think. I think we're only a couple decades away from that. I think right now, it's like content service providers have the possibility of tapping into you. Maybe, you know, all these different government groups knows how to tap into your phones and tap into your TV and tap into the camera that's on your laptop. But I think it's going to come a matter of time where that's the intrusion in privacy is going to be the bottleneck to future technology. And we're going to get to some virtual reality environment where it is so titanically bizarre and so incredibly realistic that whatever the fuck happens in the regular world is going to lose its significance. It's going to slowly lose significance to the point where we're going to accept that one of the ways to overcome some of these technological hurdles is to completely dissolve all boundaries between all people and information. Meaning you're going to be able to look at anybody doing anything, anytime, and they're going to be able to look at you, and that's going to be the new reality of human beings. And this will be after we've accepted virtual reality. So once we accept virtual reality, regular life is going to be so mundane because you're going to be able to create artificial environments like Avatar World, like you're flying through 2001 A Space Odyssey, you're hanging out with the chimps, you're going to have haptic suits on that give you feedback, it's going to be tied into your central nervous system, it's going to recreate smells and feels, and that's all going to happen. It's not a matter of whether it's going to happen, it's a matter of when is it going to happen. I think when that does happen, the big bottleneck is going to be privacy. And I think people are going to, just like they're doing now with constantly putting up things on social media, constantly showing pictures of their kids, and constantly giving updates on everywhere you go and tagging all these things with geotags, I think that in the future, we are going to just accept that no one has any privacy. And kids today are more likely to accept it than we were, and our kids are going to be more likely to accept it than their kids, and it's going to keep going on and on and on. And 3-4 generations, it's going to be life. Life is going to be no privacy. Like, if we were all living in, like, a Big Brother type house, it's fucking no privacy, right? There's cameras everywhere. There's people willingly do it. How long before everybody willingly does it? It's a matter of time. Right now, it sounds impossible because we grew up valuing privacy. I need my alone time. I don't want anybody paying attention to what I'm doing. But once human beings are so incredibly malleable that once life changes around us, and we know for a fact this is inexorable, this is not going back unless Yellowstone blows or we get hit by an asteroid. This is life now. We're just going to accept it. It's going to go into the next thing, and you're going to deal with people looking at you naked all the time, LOL, because you don't care because you're in the avatar dimension riding a fucking dragon over a volcano. You're going to be living in a world that's so much more fantastic than the real world that someone looking at your asshole in the real world, you're like, go ahead, look, who cares?
You're basically saying that we're putting ourselves in those little pods in yes. the Matrix.
Yes.
You're saying that we're willingly climbing in eventually to these little pods of goo and powering the whole machine age.
Yes.
Because we're just going to plug in.
I think
and
we're
going to
be symbiotic.
There.
I think we're going to become part machine. I think it's inevitable.
Or like an ant colony.
Yeah. You know, we're already kind of like an ant colony,
like
right?
Like one organism with mm-hmm. many, many parts.
Yeah. I think it's a matter
of time.
I don't
want to live in that. Is that okay?
You don't have to. You're alive right now. You're alive in a beautiful time. You're alive in the transition between when you were young and there was no internet to now you being an adult where there's internet. This is the most amazing time ever. We're lucky. We're lucky. We're the most lucky because we've experienced both. We've experienced, I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't have fucking answering machines.
No, I know, right? You just called and hoped they were home.
Yeah, and if they weren't home, you never found them. You opened that door to your house. You were a ghost. You just got, they had to trust you. You were where you said you were. You just went places. You could do whatever you want, you know? And that's,
we're the last wild ones. That's what we are.
We are the last. We're the last of the disconnected. You know, we were disconnected, and then we became connected in the 1990s. That's a totally new experience for human beings, and we experienced both parts. We were the last humans to experience no internet, internet. No one else will ever experience that. The only way they'll experience that is if they don't have internet, but the world has internet.
You know what I want to get back to? What you said, ghosts. How long is the electricity down if we're attacked on the infrastructure? That's what I want to know.
Well, we were talking about the internet.
Yeah,
I was just
talking about the internet, but same thing.
Oh, just the internet?
Same
yeah. thing. Like, that's an issue, too.
Oh, that's all they're going to blow is the internet?
No, I mean, they could, but it would be...
That was like the saddest attack. Like, wow.
Well, EMP could take us out, too, which is just as scary and probably yeah. easier to accomplish.
That's what I want to know yeah. about, like, how long is the recovery time? Because I do feel like Putin's sitting back there like...
Well, I think what they're really worried about other than Putin, is solar flares. They think solar flares have the real potential to take out the entire power grid. That's entirely possible.
And life as we know it.
Oh, that too, yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's only one thing. Yellowstone's the big one. Ooh.
That was like a stoner moment. We all just stopped.
Do you know about the caldera volcano in Yellowstone? You know about all that?
I do.
That's the big one.
I do. I'm
That's
not
what everybody should be freaking
as
out about.
Worried about that, although I know it's bulging.
Mm, yeah.
I think the northwest part is bulging or something.
Well, it's just so. Constantly having earthquakes. They've had thousands of earthquakes every year for like the last 5 or 6 years. Thousands. They have thousands in a month sometimes.
That to me is not worth worrying about because there's nothing we can do.
Nothing.
That they is wanna. Like that you might as well just the what?
I said they want to. They want to dig a hole.
No.
They want to drill a hole and let some of the gas out.
Well, wow. I applaud their, you know what I mean?
Like a zit. They just
want
to like lance
go.
It.
Like, where, you know. Yeah.
They want to lance a zit and push some of the lava out. Oof. What's crazy is that that's happened to human civilization like many times over the course of history. A giant volcano's blown up and killed
Meteor.
Everybody. Yeah. A bunch of that shit happened too.
Yeah. I'll be loving life because I'm small. I think only the small things survive, right?
You think so? Like, I think like shrews.
I don't
well,
know.
Well, that's what they said about the what hit the Yucatan is that we used to be like a mole, like human beings. They, if you trace the evolution of the human being, if you believe in that nonsense, today, if you go all the way back, we were like a mole. We were some kind of a mole. That was the
that
only
was our
surviving.
That was our
yeah, yeah, literally 65 million years ago, human beings. Our farthest mammal ancestor is some sort of a mole that survived the
like a little,
the big hit. Yeah.
Like shrewish looking thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And because all the upper predators get wiped out, so
yep.
then they can thrive because
there's
nothing to eat them.
And they live in the ground. so that these things can live underground and survive.
Is that our future? Maybe. Are we going to end up like underground? Everyone thinks we're going to Mars, but I think we're just going to go underground.
We are going to go to Mars too, though. Some idiots. Some poor fucks are going to die on Mars.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Pass. That's Why do people want to do that?
Because we can. Because it's
go
one of those
Arizona.
Things.
Go to Arizona. Go sit in like Badlands.
That's what I'm saying.
You're done.
Exactly.
Ooh, and you can come back and have pie.
Yeah. It's dumb. Yeah. And then you have to bring water. Or have to go get it and melt it down.
But you're there. Okay. You're on Mars. Let's just say we're on Mars. Mm-hmm. What do? We're just terraforming?
Cry. And wait for your body to stop working.
Rock.
Yeah. What can you do?
I mean, I just don't see the life there.
Well, I think people want to be pioneers. And I think it's entirely possible that you're going to wind up going with some really crazy people, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Who wants to be a pioneer that isolated?
Yeah.
Crazy pants, right?
Yeah. See, if I know a lady who lives in the Arctic Circle. She lives like 200 miles above the Arctic Circle. She's on that show Life Below Zero. You ever see that show? But she can come out when she wants. She can come back. She flies back. She was in the studio. Not this one, the old one. But she was sitting right where you're sitting. Like, you know, she's a normal person.
I can't even take a cruise.
No?
No.
But you were going to cruise in the Congo.
Well, that's a river. But I can't take a cruise boat because I can't be isolated in the middle of the ocean with people I don't think are really on the ball. Like, I can't do it. I think that's where, like, the next plague starts, I think.
Does happen sometimes.
Yeah, they get the norovirus or whatever on a cruise ship.
And what if someone's just really into chucking people over the side? Like, that's your move. You just take a cruise.
I like those
wait.
People that survive that. I like the stories of the people
the
that get they fall off a cruise
off
ship.
Really?
And they get found.
Who the fuck finds them?
They're in a shipping lane. They get found.
Really?
I love those stories.
I've never heard those stories. Yeah. I always thought you're fucked.
Can you imagine? Could you? There's like almost nothing that can fuck you worse than to fall off a cruise ship. But these people, they survive it.
You have to think of how long can you swim?
Right. I mean, it's like 13 hours or I don't know.
How long can you tread water?
Well, you can tread water longer than that.
I don't know.
Sure you can.
I sink like a rock.
You'll be hallucinating.
Right. But you'll still be treading water. You just be, your tissue would be tearing apart.
What I heard one guy talk about was how he saw like, he had the illusion of seeing boats come by and talk to him. And he, like, talked to people that were saying, just hang on longer. It was all imaginary. Like, none of it was real. But he was having, like, a full sort of trippy virtual reality experience with his hallucinations that kept him alive longer. They were, like, his subconscious. But they would come, in his mind, in vessels and, like, stop and talk to him, throw him something, motivate him.
That's crazy.
I guess you could get that if you go into one of those sensory deprivation tanks or something.
I have one.
That. Oh, you do?
I have one right over here.
Shut up.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Do you do that regularly?
Yeah.
Do you have hallucinations?
Yeah, definitely.
Like what? Tell me.
The most extreme one, I was in a jungle, and there was some people that were native to this place. They were dressed in Western clothes, though, like T-shirts. And shorts, but they're barefoot, which is often the case, though, unfortunately. A lot of people that live in these indigenous villages, they wear, like, Under Armour shirts and shit that they someone gets them. Somehow or another, it gets down to them. Missionaries maybe sometimes bring them. But they were speaking in a language that I understood, but it wasn't English. And I don't speak anything other than English. And when they were talking, I was listening to them. I was amongst them, and I was listening to them, and they were speaking in this very different language. And then I realized, like, holy shit, I can understand their language. But I realized that in English, and then poof, I popped out of the spell. Like, my freaking out about it brought me – it was all like, no, don't go away. Don't go away. Ah, fuck. It's like it was so extreme. It was so, I could smell the rain. I could feel the moisture in the air. I could see the leaves all around me. I could hear the sounds of the forest. And these people in the rainforest just hanging out, talking this – it was totally uneventful. Nothing was happening. But they were talking in this language that I absolutely knew what they were saying. They were going back and forth and communicating, and I was following the conversation in their language, thinking in their language. And then I realized it, and I woke up.
How do you interpret that?
I think – first of all, I was tripping balls, right? There's that. There's being in that tank.
On what?
I think it was edible pot. I've done a bunch of different things in the tank, but mostly it's edible pot. Pot edibles, has a distinctly hallucinatory effect at high doses, especially when you close your eyes and you're laying back and just letting visuals take place. Also, I think it's entirely possible that we have genetic memory. And I think it's entirely possible that, like, there's certain things that people pass down to their children. Like, there's certain traits that my kids have that I watch in them, and I go, okay, why are you so into this? Are you so into this because you just happen to be into this? Are you into this because I'm into this, and somehow or another got into my genes and passed on to your little tiny body, and now you're developing with this, like, hunger for certain types of activities?
So it's, like, literally in their cellular level of knowing.
Well, we don't know what's transferred. We don't know how much of, like, what, like, people have certain instincts, right? People are afraid of spiders, afraid of snakes. Why? Why is that? It's probably some memory. Probably somewhere along the line, some memory got transferred into your DNA. Well, the question is, like, how much gets in there? Until I told my 9-year-old daughter, I thought probably very little. It's just, like, physical traits and that's it. But her mind is so much like my mind. Like, and especially, like, her obsession with things. I've never seen a little kid so obsessed with things. I'm like, this is me in a 9-year-old girl's body. Like, this is fucking crazy. And talking to people that have musical talent or people that have artistic talent, and their children seem to have an aptitude for this, like an unusual aptitude, almost as if they're trying to re-remember it rather than learn it.
Ooh, I like what you just said. I like that switcheroo there.
I think there's something that gets I don't know how much of it is readable data, but I think there's so much information that gets through your cells. And then I think the child is faced with their own data, right? Their own life experiences, their own genetics, their own hormones, and all these different things that are happening around them. But I think underneath all that, it's entirely possible there remains some very, very distant memories, which is why people survived as long as they did, because you could transfer some knowledge onto the kids.
Of course.
I think it's probably less today than before, because the world's so safe. Everything's nerfed. You don't have to worry about getting eaten by leopards. Like, it's a totally different environment we're living in. So less of it gets in there, but I think there's probably still somewhere in the operating system. If you went into DOS and started sneaking around, you'd find some weird code from, like, different languages that you spoke 10,000 years ago, or, you know, who knows, whatever life experience. Like, why are kids scared of monsters? That was another thing that they were talking about once in one of these things. Like, they're scared of monsters because monsters used to be a real thing that you had to worry about because they ate people. Like, cats, like leopards and jaguars and shit. Like, that was a real problem. So little kids, they're not scared of bullets or, you know, they're scared of fucking monsters. That's what every little kid's scared of, the dark and monsters, because that's, in our genetic memory, probably some leftover shit from when we got eaten a lot.
In trees.
Yeah, in trees, right?
So falling and predation.
Yeah, both.
So is that what you think happened, like that you kind of accessed a memory? Because I was going more with, like, the, collective unconscious, like you were seeing a present day thing in another part of the world.
I doubt it.
No. You're going back in your...
I think it was just imagination more than anything, honestly. If I had to be really honest, I think it was imagination. I think I just have a very vivid imagination, and it's particularly when I was lit on some
I've read a study where if something really traumatic happens to the parent, and I don't know if this is animals or whatever, even if the baby animal is born after this thing is over, this traumatic event, they'll have a fear of that thing.
Mm.
That was very poorly articulated. I think the pot's, like, gone through me.
No, I know what you're saying.
And now I'm just, like, sort of...
I think I know what you're talking about. There was a study that they did with mice. And what they did with mice is they sprayed a citrus aroma inside the cage, and then they electrocuted the feet of the mice. Their children, when they smelled – this is children that had not been electrocuted. When they smelled that citrus aroma, they had a heightened panic state.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
But is that how they figured that out? Because that seems
– that's how they figured that out.
I can explain that with normal science. That's easy, right? Because they have the sense –
well, they never experienced the electrocution thing
before.
But
they smelled the smell.
Right, but the smell never gave them a heightened sense of awareness in mice
weren't. The fetus would be shocked. Oh, you're saying they weren't pregnant?
No, they weren't pregnant.
Oh, this is before they're pregnant, so they're not even there.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so what explains that?
Genetic memory. It's a piece of evidence that points to genetic memory. But it's one of those things. It's like, if you don't understand, go back to DOS or C++ or something like that, some computer code. I don't understand it. If I read it, it's just gibberish to me. Or like those quantum physics guys that write all that stuff. That's just gibberish. So we might be just getting that gibberish going, what's going on here? No one knows, right? We don't know. One day, maybe we'll be able to read that gibberish. But right now, we know there's something getting passed down from these mice. So if the parent gets shocked because they smell that thing, and then the kids who have nothing to do with it, they get shocked, or they smell it and they think they're going to get shocked, something's being transferred to them.
That's crazy. Why. That means that we have components of our parents, like right now, we're mm-hmm. reacting to stuff in our everyday life, our fears, our worries, our neuroses.
Yeah.
Possibly things that our parents experienced.
It's entirely possible that the neuroses of your parents is somehow or another transferred into your body. Whether
awesome.
Or not you accept them as your own.
Because I'm adopted, that means I have two sets of neuroses going at once.
I wonder.
Doubling down on
I wonder how much of what
neuroses.
Your adoptive parents gave you sticks. What is this? Yehuda, another study's authors, was an early researcher of trauma and heritability. Her research on Holocaust survivors found that epigenetic changes, not the genes themselves, but how they are turned on and off by other molecules, could be passed down to survivors' children and change their stress hormones.
Wow.
There's a
Wait,
bunch.
What does that? How does that express itself, though? Like, not genes themselves, but how they are turned on and off
by other molecules, could be passed down.
So they're going to be heightened. They're going to have a heightened sensitivity to threat, probably.
Probably.
They're going to have like a quicker response neurologically.
Well, they say that about children that are in the womb when their mother is under extreme stress or violence.
But they can sense that for sure. But what freaks me out is that it's not even like a fetal baby that's reacting. There's just like complete genetic material transference.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't think we know enough.
Future science.
Yeah. That's what you're into.
I'm way into future science. I wish we lived in the future.
So that's where ghosts fit in?
Future science, I think time is an illusion. I think that I'm more – did you ever see Interstellar?
Yes.
I'm more in that zone.
Hmm.
That smacked of good science to me. Like, I was like, yes.
So when you say time is an illusion, you mean like the watch is real? Like if it says 4:30, that's when the movie starts, right? That's all real.
No, that's just coordination.
Mm.
Within our species, we're coordinating together. We're working as an ant colony. We're sending signals, which happen to be time signals. We're using math to coordinate.
But if you go underwater and hold your breath for 5 minutes, that's real 5 minutes.
No, that's just when you run out of oxygen.
So that 5 minutes, it's the counting of that time.
Doesn't mean anything. No, it doesn't mean anything.
But if someone's 5 minutes late, you're like, bitch, you're 5 minutes late. You're like, no, this doesn't mean anything.
Well, I'm never mad about that because I'm always late. So
okay. That's interesting. Well, the only time supposedly is now, and everything else is just our pathetic attempts at measuring it and trying to
That's just
put
coordination
it into a box.
On, like, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all we're doing. Like, how old are you? I'm, you know, and then that just means how crispy you are from going around the sun. That's not like really anything.
Rotisserie.
Yeah, you're like, sorry.
Right.
Skin crackling. You know, like, it's just kind of that. And to me, like, time is just, it's just space. It's like, how far are you away from this gravitational pull? I think gravity is way more interesting. I think
it's
time is just us coordinating with math.
Well, we definitely are, but it's also like when the sun's coming up. Like, check your watch, 6:15. Sun's coming up. That's a real thing.
We're just clocking a spin of an Earth.
Right. Yeah.
That's the same thing with the lungs underwater. The Earth spins.
I agree with you and disagree with you at the same time.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think you're right, but I also think the fucking movie starts at 4:30.
But that's another human putting on a movie.
It's true.
So you're just coordinating with...
Right.
Give me an example of time that is a manifest thing outside of human coordination.
Well, you could... The oldest star.
And I don't mean like things happening.
Right.
I mean time.
Just
There's
time
no,
itself.
Like, is that helpful in any way other than for us? I don't think it exists in the universe, really.
Well, if the universe had a Big Bang, and that was a point where it started.
I don't know if I believe the Big Bang. Sorry.
What do you think?
I think we're looking at, okay, black holes. You know what? Okay, say there's a train, right? We're at a depot.
Okay.
I love that word.
Train depot.
Depot.
Like Home Depot or?
A train depot.
Okay.
Okay. And there's like a giant butt of a train, right? Huge. I don't know. 20 feet tall, 18 feet wide. Filled with that, like, that, psh, that feeling of like, oh my God, there's great mechanical power. And then it leaves the depot, but you're still there. You didn't get on it.
Right.
And it just travels in the distance into a tinier, 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 tinier speck until it's just a little point until you can't see it anymore. Did the train shrink?
No.
Okay. So when you see all this matter going into a black hole, is it really hitting a singularity? Are we really condensing matter to that extent? Or is it just condensing to a certain extent and traveling in the distance? Is it going somewhere? And that's why we perceive it as gone. It's basically,
have you ever run this by an astrophysicist?
Then they break out the wormhole, but that's not the same thing. That's not what I'm saying. Like, and well, I think the Big Bangs are the other end of that process.
The under end of the process of coming out. That's a real thought. They think that, well, every galaxy has a supermassive black hole that's
in the center of it.
One half of 1% of the mass of the entire galaxy. So the larger the galaxy, the larger the supermassive black hole. The prevailing theory is that, or one of the prevailing theories, I should say, inside every black hole may be another universe. It's entirely possible
exactly.
that there's another universe of hundreds of billions of galaxies, each with supermassive black holes in the center of them. And you go through that one, you go into – it's fractal. It just goes on
yes.
forever and ever and ever.
Exactly.
That's entirely possible,
That's
too.
My philosophy. And I think the whole universe is spinning. I think the whole thing's a spiral deal.
Mm. I think they think that, don't
and
they?
And then within the spiral, you get the eddies, right, which are the galaxies and the irregularities
yeah.
and stuff. But the whole shebang is also spinning.
That multiverse idea is – like legit scientists talk about that now, that
but that's
there might be
different.
Infinite numbers
multiverse.
Of universes.
Yes, I agree yeah. with that.
And
that makes
this,
so much more sense.
Well, it makes some kind of sense. Like people that go, oh, that's crazy. Well, the universe is crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy that you look out and you see forever. It's crazy. That's
right.
pretty fucking crazy.
And when you look
you know?
Up, you're looking out.
Yeah.
You're sitting on the side of a planet looking out.
You're in
out.
The middle of the whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
You're in the middle of the soup of reality. But to think that that's crazy, but that's as crazy as it gets, like, says who? Why wouldn't you think there's fucking infinite numbers of these things out there? That we're just a part of something that's so big. Like, if you looked at all the zeros on that number, you wouldn't even be able to wrap your head around it. You'd be like, what? What's a billion? How many zeros is that? How many billions is this? How many trillions is in a billion? What? There's no way. It's too much.
There's this Enigma thing. I love it so much. It's talking about – it has to do with why we haven't seen aliens yet.
The Fermi paradox?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah.
The Fermi paradox is like questioning why, because there's so many different life – I mean so many different planets that could potentially support life. They're like if there's 100 billion galaxies or hundreds of billion, each one has hundreds of billions of stars, how many of those have habitable planets? And if so, why haven't they contacted
yeah.
us? Yeah.
And like the math is overwhelming that either we're the first or they kill all the comers.
Mm. Or.
Or we're like.
Or we turn inward and go into the
I need
hyper
more pop
world.
For that.
Yeah.
What's the turn inward? Wait, what's
turn
the
turn inward is the idea that we all go virtual and that we become some sort of a symbiotic thing connected to this hive mind, this real electronic reality.
I can't handle self-driving cars. I can't do that.
You're going to have to.
I can't. No, I'm not. Am I? Mm. Yes, I am. God damn it.
How could you not? Self-driving cars are real. They're here. I mean, they suck right now. They'll kill a couple of people.
That's insane. There's like five of them on the road and they've already killed someone.
There's a lot of them on the road.
Yeah, no. I feel extremely unsafe about that. I reject that with every fiber of my being. I drive my own car.
Good for you. What kind of car do you drive?
Mercedes.
Look at you, rich chick.
Mm-mm.
Out here partying?
Hardly. No, we're getting deep. We're going deep.
I think they'll get it down. They'll get the autonomous car down. The real problem is going to be the thrill and the excitement of freedom. Just getting in your car, turning the key, and just going. I'm good, dude. You can't do that anymore. That's gonna be a real thing. That's gonna be one day.
No.
Hmm.
I mean, that feels extremely threatening as an American. I feel like America to me is about big long roads and freedom.
Yeah.
Go where I want, when I want, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if you've got the goods, you can start a business there or whatever it is. That, yeah, to me is America. Is the I don't want to be locked into little channels going all 20 miles an hour. You know, like I need.
You want to be able to accelerate.
I consider driving kind of an art form. It's kind of an art thing. It's like a sport. You need an activity. And I don't want to relinquish that to be like a thing on a factory line.
Well, you might get lucky and die before it becomes mandatory.
No. That doesn't dovetail nicely with my idea that they're going to discover something that lets me live 500 years, because I've decided that's the exact perfect lifespan for me.
500?
For me, personally. Not for everyone.
Would you think that you'll still be getting after it when you're like 450 years old?
They'll have hormones for that. They'll have things.
Everything.
They'll have everything for that.
Have you juiced up,
locked
down.
Physical envelope will be okay. It's the psychology. Can you not go mad? You might go mad.
Well,
it depends on if everyone else is living 500 years.
We've had this conversation before. We were talking about if you found out that you were going to live this life over again every time, like infinitely, would you be able to handle it?
No.
But why? You handle it now. You're living right now.
Would you know? Would you be conscious that this was your 15th
you would have to
time?
Would you take someone's word for it?
We're back to the Matrix. Neo's come back like 5 times. He still can't get it right, right?
But if someone came up to you right now and said, Liz, I'm going to give you the reality of existence. The reality of existence is you will do this life an infinite number of times until you get it right, and you're never going to get it right. So you're just going to keep living this life over and over again, hopefully fucking up less and less each time, but most likely you're going to still fuck up, and you're just going to keep doing the same thing. You'd be like, no fucking way. But if someone says, do you want to end your life right now? You'd be like, no, I love my life. When you were on that plane and your whole body was shaking, you're like, I want to stay alive. I don't want to die. So why don't you want to stay alive and just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over?
Well, is there transcendence? Is there a goal? If there's a goal, I can get with it.
Mm. So transcendence meaning we evolve.
Groundhog's Day. You know that wonderful movie?
Yes.
Love that movie.
Great movie.
Stop it. I love that movie. That's like top 10 for me.
Okay. You got to watch some other movies then. But
I love dumb 90s, 80s movies.
I like a lot of them too.
It's a genre that I really like. I mean, like Blues Brothers might be top 5 easily for me.
Christmas Vacation is a good movie.
I haven't seen that one, but yes, you're feeling me. Okay, yeah. So if there's something that you evolve into, I can live my life over many times and strive to be better at it. But if there's no point to it all and I just have to keep living over and over and going to high school again and again and again, no.
Well, don't you think that human beings overall are evolving?
Yes.
I think so. I think even our trials and tribulations and the things that go sideways, they reveal sideways as an option to us and gets us back on track.
I have an expression that my mother loves, onward and sideways.
Like, That's good.
Kind of gets you up in the morning when you're like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I like that. And I like the idea of, I'm very into as we sort of evolve. Speaking of UFO conferences, I was driven in the back of Rick Rubin's Bentley when I first moved to LA. My friend Nora was friends with him, and he drove us to a UFO conference. And I just remember sitting in the back of this huge Bentley, and he wouldn't talk to me at all. Like, I was like not of interest enough to. I kept sort of poking my head up to the front seat to like try to contribute to the conversation. Like,
and he just didn't want to talk.
No, he just like ignored everything I said. And they were talking about the evolution of human consciousness at this crazy UFO conference. It was pretty funny. It was very organized. It was just like any, like, NAM or something. It was like anything.
Yeah. They have some good ones. You know, there's a business in it, though. That's the real issue with all the UFO stuff is that there's a business. Is that you get to a point where people realize you could make a lot of profit if you just start talking about UFOs or talking about extraterrestrial invaders that are inevitably coming and when, and then everything gets murky, you know, gets real murky. It's cause like who's
you
being,
mean when science and like, yeah. Like
well,
when you need to
the
prove
bullshit
something?
Artists, it's just it's not always pure, you know, like there's some people that look at it and that are like real researchers, like there's a bunch of them that try to figure out what the fuck is going on and they make a lot of sense. you know, and they're trying to figure it out. But they don't point to anything in particular and say this little fetus, this is an alien baby, and we're going to use genes to prove it. Like, you know, they found that little baby with the big head, just a baby, just a deformed baby.
But what they're really looking for is aerial phenomenon, right? That's
aerial phenomenon is one, but
phenomena.
The problem
phenomena.
Is phenomena.
Phenomena. Phenomena.
The problem is we don't know whose stuff that is, right? If it's ours, it's flying around. They don't tell you about it. If it's some drones that the government's working on.
But if they've got that kind of maneuverability, why aren't they using it?
What kind of maneuverability are you convinced they have?
They can move great speeds at odd angles is what I understand.
Yeah. I don't see.
I mean, they couldn't get
here.
Well, here's the thing. They couldn't get here unless they were able to actually, like, tesseract.
What is that word?
Tesseract.
What
from
is that?
Wrinkle in Time. You would have read
it.
It was
see
like
that
a
movie.
Girl book. That
it's
was
out
book.
Now, right? It's a movie, right?
I haven't seen the movie, but
it's
nice
Oprah
plug.
Movie.
Get my box set.
So they fold.
They fold time.
Did you see Event Horizon? Did you see that movie?
No, but I'm sure I'm familiar
great
with that.
Fucking movie.
Yeah?
Scary space movie with who's in that movie? Lawrence Fishburne and a bunch of other people. Sam, the guy from Jurassic Park, the English
Goldblum?
Gentleman. Damn it. I want to say Harris, but that's not his name.
Wait, the older guy? The grandfather?
No, the one who was
Neill.
Sam Neill. Sam Neill. He was like one of the scientists, one of the top scientists. They went there with Laura Dern. He was like Laura Dern's boyfriend.
He's English?
Yes. Pretty sure. There he is. There's a gentleman. That's the Event Horizon.
He has an English accent?
Yeah, doesn't he? Maybe he's just so proper. I think he's English. I think he's English.
That'll blow my mind.
That movie's badass, though. It's one of the best horror / science fiction movies ever. They combined like a demonic movie with space. It was demons in space.
Okay, I like this.
Yeah.
So the aliens are actually demons.
Sort of. They punched through a wormhole in order to travel this far, and when they did, they opened up a passage
don't
to hell.
Don't penetrate the dimensions.
Dum, dum, dum.
Don't paint. Well, hell being what we would do to extraterrestrials. I mean, think about who we are
right.
to an alien civilization. Let's just say they're peaceful and they're not. I mean, like, imagine us, although
right.
we'd probably be, like, so evolutionarily backward.
Right. It would probably be like if we had a giant hamster wheel and we visited a crazy group of armed chimps. It'd be like, whoa, 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 slow the fuck
You're
down.
Right.
You know? They probably would be really aware that we're super violent. We would shoot at them and shit. They probably would do something to slow that down.
Okay, now I'm officially high. Like, I can feel it. It just happened to me.
No, there's no doubt, right?
So, okay. Have you ever been to one of my concerts?
No. Does that bum you out?
No, not at all. I was going to ask you because I was assuming it was pretty early on. I'm going out. I'm plugging myself now, but I'm going out and I'm playing all these songs that I haven't played ever really live that I wrote.
Grab that microphone.
Sorry.
That's all right. People at home are screaming at me right now.
Stay with me. I'm going to whisper.
When are you performing out here soon?
I will be. Like 8 shows, it'll come and go, kind of like a shooting star through the sky. Just
will you
really
let me know when? When are you going to be here?
It's happening now. Joe, get down here. Sure, June.
Okay, I'm in.
But it's kind of an interesting thing. If you play stuff that is from a really long time ago and it was pretty rudimentary on stage, can you trick it out with a bass? Can you trick it out with drums? Can you go back and like reinvent your early work? Do you think that that would be like, would that upset an old fan?
Right, you mean if an old fan wanted to hear it the way it was?
Uh-huh.
Right. Like if you had an acoustic version.
Do they want me to just exactly hit exactly how I played it? Probably, right?
I don't think that you can leave that up to vote.
Because I was thinking it would help my voice to be a stoner. Since I was a stoner back then. And
it would help?
That,
so you're thinking about getting into being a stoner now?
I might.
You make a good stoner. Sitting around talking about black holes and shit.
Yeah, I
it's
do.
Perfect.
Don't I?
Ghosts? You believe in ghosts?
I like all that shit sober, though.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Well, I think most people do. I don't think most people that are watching those ghost shows are high.
No. Yeah. The internet is like the paranormal.
Yeah. Well, it's
library.
things that people are curious about and they're fun. Like, if ghosts were real, it'd be fun. It'd be awesome, you know? It wouldn't be fun if they weren't real. It'd be like, oh, you mean all those shows were bullshit?
Have you never been scared? You've never been scared by a ghost. You've never actually,
I've definitely been scared. I never thought.
By humans or animals?
No, I've been through the Comedy Store, which has been, apparently, a bunch of people got murdered there. When Bugsy Siegel owned it, it used to be Ciro's nightclub. And a lot of people that work there apparently have seen ghosts. Like, even my friends have told me they've seen ghosts.
You don't believe them?
I don't know.
What did they say?
They said they saw ghosts. I mean, maybe they were telling the truth.
Like a human look? I've never seen an actual human apparition.
Some have told me they were grabbed. Carl LeBeau said he was grabbed and dragged. He was in a dark room and something grabbed him and dragged him on the ground and then ran through the place and slammed the door outside.
You're kidding.
That's what he said.
Could it have been a person?
Could have been, for sure. People are real. You know, it's more likely a person. He's in a pitch black room. It might have been one of his asshole friends. Decided to grab him because he's probably drunk off his ass.
Yeah.
Laying down there like, I think he got in a fight with his wife or something like that. And went to the Comedy Store. Was like, fuck this. I'm going to lie here. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be a big comedian. And then something like came into the room. He tells the whole story on stage. It's really kind of interesting the way he tells it because he's very dramatic and goes through the whole detail of it. But I've talked to several wait staff, waitresses, managers that have seen ghosts there, comics that have seen ghosts there. But again, people are full of shit, right? You get 100 people, one of them's a fucking moron, and that one out of 100 might tell you some goofy ass fucking story because they want to be special.
But what happened to you that made you scared?
Oh, normal stuff, just being in the dark.
I mean, just freaked out to be there.
I'm more scared of animals than I am of anything else.
Like, yeah, me too.
The real things, you know. I'm scared of real shit.
Have you ever seen a moose?
Oh, yeah.
Close and personal? Those things are huge.
They're giant. I shot a moose.
I stumbled. You shot a moose?
Yeah.
Did you kill him the first time?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I ate it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's true hunting.
Yeah. Well, it's the way to do it. But they're fucking huge. They're like, they don't even look like a real animal. The first time I saw one in British Columbia, it was like a scene from Jurassic Park. We pulled the car over and we rolled the windows down. We were like, what the fuck? Look at that thing. They're so big.
I think I could walk under it and clear.
You might be able to.
I really think, like, their legs are, you know.
You a little duck, maybe, at the worst. They're so big, it doesn't even make sense. Like, you feel like you could drive a car under them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're enormous.
They're the redwoods of deer.
Yeah. Crazy animal. Grows giant doors on its head every year, and then they fall off after they're done breeding. The horns fall off, and they regrow again.
Did you have to wait for a long time to get it?
Yeah, we were there for like 5 days. We got it on the fifth day, the fourth or the fifth day. Yeah.
Same animal? You saw it a couple?
No, we didn't see one. We were looking. There's a lot of wolves up there.
Are you allowed to shoot the wolves?
Yeah, they try to get you to kill as many as you can. I don't want to. But if you're up there, they give you an unlimited tag for wolves. You could shoot 30 wolves, but you won't. You'll never get 30 of them. They're smart as shit. But we did come across a baby moose that got eaten by a wolf.
Ooh.
It's crazy. A pack of wolves. There was hair everywhere. That was the most surprising thing. It's just fucking hair. I didn't think there would be hair everywhere. But I'm like, of course. If they're going to kill this thing, they have to chew off the hair.
Oh, yeah. Spit it out, right? It's like every meal an animal eats has like all this crap. Yeah. Like there's no one preparing it. There are no knives and forks.
You can't see that in their shit, too. You see ropes of hair in their shit.
Dude, gross.
Yeah. They don't just eat the meat like nice and clean, like a bowl and chopped up meat. No, they're eating the hair, everything. Yeah.
I used to look at those like wild horse videos where they would show that pack of wild horses, and I would try to think like, is it better? Maybe it's better to be like stabled and in a clean with nice, you know, sawdust or whatever in your pen. Like maybe it's not so bad to be a kept animal. I'm not sure I'd like to be a wild horse. I mean, it seems really romantic, but would it really be fun?
It's a great Rolling Stone song. I think what it is they're not the same thing that they used to be.
They're not the same thing. You're right.
Yeah.
They've been domesticated for so long.
Yeah.
It's not even the same animal, really.
Do you know
especially with that genetic memory thing you're talking about.
Do you know what a scrub bull is? You ever heard of that expression?
Scrub bull.
Scrub bulls are wild domestic cattle. Domestic cattle that's broken down barriers and gone wild and has lived in the wild for several generations.
Mm.
It changes their form. They look different. They're much more muscular. They're freaky looking, multicolored sometimes. They've grown giant antlers, or giant horns rather, and Australia has a real issue with them. And they're super, super aggressive. When you think about bull riding, people ride bulls and bulls go fucking crazy. That's what a bull does. Bulls are ruthless motherfuckers. They're just out there trying to have sex with cows, and anything that gets anywhere near them, they'll fuck up because they're giant. So these things just roam wild, and they're a different animal now, and people hunt them. It's very strange. That's a wild animal. These horses are still the same form as when people domesticated them. They just got loose, and so they're just running around trying to find something to eat.
They're not real wild?
Well, their wild horses are not native to North America.
Oh, wild I didn't know
horses,
that.
Yeah, they were brought into North America. The Native Americans did not have horses. We brought them in from Europe.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is horses originated in North America many, many eons ago, but then died off in North America, but prospered overseas in different places, like possibly went across the Bering landmass and all these different places where horses evolved and became zebras and all these other different animals. Like, and then the Europeans brought the horse back to North America, but the horse originated in North America, but then died off. So these wild horses, they're just domestic horses that got free.
So it is kind of shitty for them.
It's kind of shitty. They don't really – if you see a really well taken care of horse, they don't seem to mind it. Like if there's a place up here that has a stable and people ride their horses, people come by and pet the horses seem so chill. They don't seem to mind it at all. Like if it's a loved horse and they're taken care of and you know they're just – treated well and fed well, doesn't seem to mind.
How do they not mind that hugely heavy saddle and that hugely heavy human being?
It's only hugely heavy to you.
Those things are so heavy.
That a horse has. Do you deal with what does a big horse weigh? 1,000 pounds? 2,000 pounds? It's like, you remember when your son was really little, you put him on your shoulders, didn't really bother you. I think that's what it's like. And then think of the mass that a horse carries around, just the bone structure and the muscle, this fucking thing that can jump over huge stacks of logs with a person on its back.
That is pretty incredible.
They're insane. So what we are, you know, if we had to carry a person around, that would fucking suck. Yeah, because we got squishy discs in our back and our muscles give out and we cramp up and, you know, we're wearing stupid fucking shoes. And like a horse can carry a person for a long time.
I feel a little bad for them.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't do it when
they're
tired.
Have you ever saddled a horse?
I don't ride horses, no.
You have to pull this strap like really tightly around their barrel chest, right?
Yeah.
Because they do this thing where when they can tell that you're saddling them, they like stick their bellies out.
Oh, to try to get themselves some space?
Yeah, so that when you let go, they can go like this and they're more comfortable. So you literally have to like yank this thing and you're like on them. Otherwise, you'll start to slip when you're riding. You'll just start to fall like slowly to the side.
That sounds smart.
Well, I mean, it sucks. That's why they're always farting when you're on the trail.
I thought they just fart all the time anyway.
I think they probably do. I just made that up. I wanted to sound like I knew what I was talking about.
But you're squeezing them down with the straps.
But they spook. Like if they saw a wolf, they'd go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
They spook at a garbage can.
Do you know that's why cowboy boots are made that way?
No.
Where your feet go in them loose and then they have the heel. All that is so that the heel slides on that thing that your foot sticks in. What's that thing called?
Stirrup.
Stirrup. Your foot slides in and locks on that stirrup with the heel. And then if you get knocked off, the foot shoe just comes off. You don't get dragged.
Oh.
Like if your foot, if you have like hiking boots on with like 17 eye holes and you get that bitch tied down and laced in and you shove them into those stirrups, if that fucking horse starts bucking and you get knocked loose, you're going to get dragged and kicked to death. You're going to be hanging on by your foot. It's going to be stomping on your head as you're running around. You're going to bounce you off rocks and shit. But if you're in one of them cowboy boots, your feet just come right out.
I am now only going to wear cowboy boots.
If you're riding a horse, you should only wear cowboy boots.
I haven't been.
But that's why they're so slippery. That's why they come right off, too. They're goofy.
It's like, smart.
It is for horse riding. Yeah. But like people that don't get that and try to wear like big-ass fucking mountaineering boots and ride a horse. Like, you're fucked,
man. I don't
think
anyone can fit a big-ass mountaineering boot in a stirrup.
There's a real issue with people that go mountain hunting.
I always thought cowboy boots were for snakes. That's why they were like so thick.
I bet that that's it too. I bet that's
that they had to go up high
too.
Enough so that a strike wouldn't get you.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably a factor too. But there's definitely a factor, like with the way the heel is constructed, is that your stirrup sits right in the heel, and the way your foot just comes right off.
And the way the toe goes up, it would just stay in the stirrup.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you'd go flying.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly.
What?
It's really smart, right? With the pointy
tips. It is really smart.
The tips, you get stuck up there, your foot goes flying out, and you're done.
I know. That was very vivid, now that I'm high, like to imagine my head bouncing along the trail behind the horse.
Bang, bang. No. Back your head, cracking off rocks, trying to stay conscious, grabbing your head. Your hand gets smashed on the rocks.
You can't grab anything.
Next.
You're just a rag doll.
Fuck. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No. You're awfully silent over there. Does he ever?
He talks all the time. He's a good talker.
Really?
Yeah, Jamie's a smart guy. But we could wrap this up if you'd like.
She has to be out of here, I thought.
Yeah.
2:45.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
She should probably get out of here.
That did just whiz by.
Did you drive?
No.
No? Someone getting you? Okay. When can people find out where you're playing and when you're playing live? What's the best way? Is it your website?
Yes. LizFair.com.
Okay.
I think. I don't actually know.
People find it. Go look for it. And your collection
is... I think they're sold out.
Is it?
The
really?
Show.
Already?
The shows, yeah.
Damn, look at you.
Yeah, that went exceedingly fast, and I was terrified by it. I had like a complete breakdown and couldn't be on Twitter for 3 days because I was so shocked.
Why?
At how fast they went.
Did you get nervous?
I don't know. It became very real very fast.
Whoa.
When the box set's coming out, I think, is May 4th, which may the 4th be with you.
Okay.
And also with you. Very excited about that.
Awesome. I'm going to buy it.
It's like a compendium. It's my origin story, basically.
Right.
You wrap this up, and if I kick the bucket, we're good. We know where I came from. It's all like collected in beautiful packaging. Super cool.
That's fair. This was a lot of fun.
This was a really lot of fun.
I really enjoyed it.
This is the best. Let's make all interviews like this.
I wish you could.
All right. Thank you very much.
Liz Phair, ladies and gentlemen. Bye, everybody.
I love.
That's fine.